to live just sitting fun of.
You're listening to Morning Sedition, presented by AirAmericaPlace.com. If you enjoy these downloads, please consider making a small donation. Even a $1 monthly donation will go a long way to keep our web service free from advertising. Click Donate on the Air America Place homepage to find out how.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, hipsters, wearers of authentic used clothing and whatnot. It is Morning Sedition time. Ow, I just hit my hand on one of these lights. No, it wasn't one of those lights. Al Franken, the Al Franken Experience. The Al Franken Show on Sundance Channel, Dead Air. I'm not sure when it's going to be on, but they've made this studio into some sort of weird, you know, centrist Bennigans. Look at all this stuff on the wall, man. There's like red and blue states, balloon. You know what? Doesn't even matter. Not bitter. Feeling good. Not bitter about Al Franken, because Al Franken is, you know, one of the great leaders of our movement. And I'm not bitter about Al Franken. I'm bitter about other things. I'm a little itchy in my skin, Mark Riley.
You talking to me?
Yeah.
I'm hardly awake at this point.
You can't say that. I warned you.
The mistake of my life this morning. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, Maron did warn me.
Here's what happens. We're upstairs. Downstairs. We're doing our little research work. We're reading the articles. And Smarty Pants Larson pulls a box of Gina
from Philly
with the M&Ms and the Hershey Kisses, and it pulls it out at 4:30 in the morning. And I'm like, "Don't pull that out now." And Riley's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Dude, you're not pacing your buzz properly." And he's like, "Bam!" He's in the bag of M&Ms. He's shoveling them into his mouth. And I said, "You're gonna pay for this, dude." Yeah, and that's what happened. So all of a sudden now, Riley's like, you know, you gotta pace your buzz. You know that. Back in the day, you must have known that.
I know, but I figured I could counter it with the grape soda, and now I have these two junk food elements at war in my system.
Counter it with more sugar. Okay, so you do the M&Ms, and you're like, I'm cool. I got the grape soda in the pocket. That was like the old thing. It's like, you know, I'll do some booze, but you got the bindle in the pocket.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
All right, you know, and then... Oh, so now look at you.
No,
now
I'm okay. I'll be all right.
You're strung out on grape soda and M&Ms. There are people out there waiting for our energy. Hey, thanks for the emails and support for our show about Kerry yesterday and playing that 1971 audio of the of his statement to the Committee on Foreign Relations.
You know what? We ought to do that again. Well, I guess it'll be in the best of maybe, but we ought to do that again if we have a chance before the end of the week. Play some more of that. Play it again.
Yeah.
Why not play it again? Not everybody's heard it.
No, I just thought it was great, and it was great to talk to.
Jim Wasser.
He was great. He was on the boat with Kerry. He had some great things to say.
In command with Kerry.
And he was like, you know, can we hear number four, Tim? Listen, this is Jim Wasser from yesterday.
The real people and the truth, it's all coming out.
Yeah,
it is the truth. And it's going to come to the top. But, you know, us guys, we tell anybody, and we're proud of it. If John Kerry called any one of us up today and said that he has one last swift boat mission going into hell,
yeah.
I would be his LPO.
Yeah.
He would have a full boat, and there would be ever any consideration of that. I'd like to ask some of those other fellas that are on them ads what their crews thought of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want to demean their service because they served their country very bravely also. But the gloves are off. They're lying. It's not right. And I will not allow them to do that to John Kerry in 04.
He's hardcore, man.
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry?
He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses. Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop. Fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry. John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Boat Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
And then, like, in the middle of when we were talking to Wasser yesterday, you know, I decided to, like, be a funny guy. I'm like, hey, we've got an ad, and then you didn't hear, you know, and Wasser did not register it as funny.
No, he didn't react to that at all.
Well, he did. Like, we've done that before, though, where we've played our fake ads, and I think people are so engaged in their conversation with us on the phone or not focusing that they're just thinking about what they're having to say. But
So because of the context that it sounds like a real ad, they just sort of, you know, detach from it and don't.
Well, you know what else it is, though, Mark? We come across in some of these interviews as relatively serious people, and then all of a sudden we lay this out and say, wait a minute, I thought we were talking to Dan Rather.
And all of a sudden we give him one of these.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
And then we have this one, of course, which I this is a new one.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful.
That's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Where's the other ad? Where's the other funny ad?
There's
Where
one
is
more
it?
In there.
There is
it's
it?
There. It's there.
I don't know. I had it. It was on my thing yesterday. Now I can't find it.
Uh-oh.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. You guys, bloggers, how are you? Nice to see you. So what is beautiful about Kerry, and I don't think we had anything to do with this. I'd like to think we did. But he said, talking about his 1971 statement to the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, mm-hmm. quote, you can judge my character, incidentally, by that.
Yeah.
That, you know, and that's what we were saying yesterday, and a lot of people were critical of Kerry about not stepping up, not responding to the Bush attacks, you know, quick enough. You know, I was one of those people. I still
Me
think,
too.
You know, he just doesn't want to fight dirty at all, so we did a little of that for him yesterday, and I don't mind doing it. But then he says, quote, because when the time for moral crisis existed in this country, I wasn't taking care of myself. I was taking care of public policy. I was taking care of things that made a difference to the life of this nation. You may not have agreed with me. You may not have agreed with me, but I stood up and was counted, and that's the kind of president I'm going to be, unquote.
See, I think he is prepared to stand on this record, and with good reason. It is a record, I would think, that someone would be proud of. A war hero, a public servant. Why would anyone shy away from that legacy? They're trying to attack it now, and we're going to get into this later on this morning. One of our guests, Congresswoman Shelley Berkley from Nevada,
yep.
they're trying to go after him in Nevada, which is a key swing state,
yep.
over this whole Yucca Mountain issue. We're going to get into that later on this morning. These folks are stopping at absolutely nothing, and that's the nature of politics. But don't yell like a stuck pig when you get it back.
Yep.
That's my thing. You want to play that way? Fine. Don't say anything when somebody plays that on you.
Well, it's interesting that they keep trying to set the terms. Even when Bush said yesterday that, like, you know, when they asked him to comment on the Swift Boat ads, he was like, you know, I'm against all these 527s. I'm against all this soft money going into advertising. So I think we should all stop it. So I put that to John Kerry. Like, he doesn't address the ad. He doesn't disregard these liars who are bitter and are seeing this as an opportunity to win the Vietnam War again, you know, for them to win it, period.
Well, you know why he can't exactly do that. Now, it's been revealed that one of these clowns actually is, and I don't want to misspeak about exactly who this person is or exactly what his connection is to the Bush administration.
Yeah, it's this guy, it's a lawyer. It's this guy Ginsburg. It's this guy Ginsburg, a lawyer for Bush's reelection campaign, disclosed that he has been providing legal advice for a veterans group challenging Kerry's account of his Vietnam War service, specifically the
Swift Boat Veterans for Truth.
And, you know, they're sitting there lying, that guy Roscoe.
Yeah.
What's his
Mark
name?
Roscoe.
Mark Roscoe. I saw him on
what
TV.
What is C?
Yeah, I saw it.
Bush advisor.
He's insulting my C.
That's right.
But
good thing he didn't use K, creep.
Yeah, I saw him on CNN last night. Could the guy look more like a gargoyle? Not that that's criticism, but these guys, you know why they can lie so effectively? Is that they really believe it. They're pathological freaks, some of these politicians. He just got out there and said, you know, we are not connected with that ad. The administration is not connected with that ad. Yet one of Bush's lawyers is
lawyers. Lawyers, ladies and gentlemen. And see, this is the kind of thing that I think sooner or later is going to come back to haunt George W. Bush. He and his people are desperate to win this election. And, hey, this is politics. That's what you're in it for. You are in it to get reelected if you're an incumbent. His dad didn't do it. He couldn't get it done back in 92. And, you know, the family honor, I suppose, is on the line to some extent here. So they are willing to go about as far as anyone is willing to go. Now, you know, we were talking earlier, Mark, about whether or not this is really the dirtiest or the nastiest campaign. And I don't think it's descended to that level yet. And historically, there have been some really, really ugly campaigns for public office in this country.
Yes.
I mean, really ugly.
I feel like it's gotten pretty nasty. But the amazing thing is that, you know, Kerry might be really on the right train here in terms of, like, his new statements. Mm-hmm. It's not an advertisement, but I think we're going to play some. We're going to hear it later. But his new statements about, you know, keeping the focus on the economy, keeping the focus on health care. Why don't we talk about the issues in a very real way? Because of his earnestness, I think it might actually serve him pretty darn well. Because he sounds like you know, okay, you guys want to keep screwing around with that, go ahead. But if you don't mind, I'm going to address some of the problems that we have in this country.
I think it was smart, too, to come to New York within a week of the time the Republicans are coming here. He knows he's going to get bashed when they get here. He knows how the tone and tenor of this convention, and we're going to get into that a little bit later, too, who's going to speak, who's not, whether conservative ideas are going to be represented or not. But Kerry came to New York yesterday, went down to Cooper Union, raised some money, good thing for him, but also spoke directly to what everyone here knows is about to happen.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, this is New York is a Kerry town.
Yeah.
The Republicans have all but written off the entire state, despite the fact that we have a Republican governor and a Republican mayor in New York.
He's kind of a Republican mayor.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, you know, I don't know. Like, he's going to distance himself from this thing, too.
Well, if we're lucky, we might even get a chance to.
That's why I'm saying I think it's a great opportunity for him to come on our show, Mr. Bloomberg. But we are also going to be at the convention all week. We are going to be behind enemy lines trying to fool Republicans into talking to us.
Until our senior producer, Jonathan Larson, gets us thrown out.
I'm going to get us thrown out, Ryan.
Oh, you're getting us thrown out?
Yeah, I'm going to get us thrown out. But
I don't know this man, ladies and gentlemen. Officer, I've never seen him before.
In a nonviolent way, I'm going to get us thrown out. You know, I'm going to demand something. You know, like, maybe I'll rush the podium. You know, like that guy in the tutu who jumped in the pool at the Olympics. Maybe I'll just do that. I'm going to put a tutu on, just start dancing around up there. No? Because then, like that, what would they do to me? I don't know. Maybe I just want to wear a tutu. What's wrong with me?
At the time that we'll be there, there'll be so few other people in the garden that
hey, what,
they might just take your picture and put it up on the Jumbotron. Yeah,
there's the guy with the mop. Hey, come here, buddy. Come here. How do you feel about the political race? I had a moment yesterday where something really horrible happened. I actually think I saw Dick Cheney's heart for a minute. Like, I saw his heart, his humanity, and it really frightened me. And we'll talk about it when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, musculoskeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
New York City, September 4th at Town Hall. Mother Jones Magazine presents The State of the Union, an evening of uncensored political comedy to benefit uncensored, uncompromising independent media. Starring Air America host Janine Garofalo and Liz Winstead, bipartisan smartass Will Durst, comic artist Ward Sutton, Eugene Merman, and friends. Tickets through Ticketmaster. More information at motherjones.com.
Canada, Czech Republic, Finland, Germany, Slovakia, Sweden, Russia, and the USA. The greatest hockey nations in the world are facing off for the 2004 World Cup of Hockey. Be a part of the passion and rivalry for bragging rights to number one and world hockey champion. Tune in August 31st at 7 p.m. Eastern when Team USA takes on Team Canada on Sirius Sports Action 123.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, what we've seen is that there were very few terrorists in Iraq, if any, before we launched our invasion, and now it's become a hotbed for terrorists.
Well, it's very clear that this war was undertaken under false pretenses. The argument of weapons of mass destruction didn't hold up before the war. Certainly has been fully discredited after the war. The links, the operational links to terrorism with a global reach, to use the president's own words, have never been demonstrated, even not to mention beyond a shadow of a doubt, and have never been plausible. Leaving us with the argument that the president made the other day on his interview with Tim Russert, that this was a madman-badman war.
Right.
He went to war to get rid of a madman and a badman. Now, the trouble is, when we constitute our military forces, we constitute them to defend the United States. We have other tools in our toolbox to go after madmen, badmen.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Big ears, flat feet, bushy hair. Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at Family Learning Programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. The classes are amazing and free. Family Learning Programs. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMLET-1 and pass down the greatest thing of all, a chance.
When do we put this in? When do we, it's 21 past the hour. That's, you know what? That's a little too classic hitsy. I'm sorry. That's got to go, man. That's got to go, Larson. All right? You know, I understand. You know, I got nothing against the Who, though I wasn't a Who guy. All right, but I got nothing against the Who. But that, not only has that song been abused by advertisers, but by classic hit stations, that's one of those songs that they have overplayed forever. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe they'll put it on a hip-hop station now.
Well, it's going to need a different beat.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You heard the Gray album?
Yeah, I know. No one's done that with the Who.
All
but
right.
As we were talking, Mark Riley, I'm
yes.
Mark Maron, by the way, this is Morning Sedition, Dick Cheney, and I'm not going to believe him. You know, I'm not, you know, it's fine if he wants to get all mushy about his daughter and you know, his voice, but he actually said yesterday about gay marriage, he said, quote, my general view, oh, we actually can listen.
We actually have the quote, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't have to read it because I would read it. My statement is.
Yeah. Well, you know, he actually sounds like really, he sounds nothing like the guy who once said with a straight face that he would shoot down a rocket, or shoot down a passenger airliner to get one guy or something.
Let's not get all teary-eyed about Dick Cheney.
I know. We'll get to
he's
that.
He's playing a game. This is politics, but, you know, he did sort of ooze a little.
He showed a soft side. Here he is in Davenport, Iowa.
Lynn and I have a gay daughter. So it's an issue that our family is very familiar with. We have two daughters, and we have enormous pride in both of them. People ought to be free to enter into any kind of relationship they want to. But the president makes basic policy for the administration.
Oh.
And he's made it clear that he does, in fact, support constitutional amendment on this issue.
You know what I'm crying for? His daughter.
His daughter.
That guy. But I guess, you know, you can cry for him, but, you know, he owns the planet.
Yeah, he does.
Can you even imagine how much money that bastard has?
He's getting richer by the minute. That blind trust of his is starting
rich,
to get some eyes.
Getting rich off of the blood of a rock
is
what that guy's doing. But here he is. It seems like the only time these guys are capable of any, you know, real emotion is when they're talking to, you know, about their direct family. And even the president is not capable of that. Our president is incapable of empathy, sympathy, or any sort of human engagement. He is
that's
incapable.
That's not what he does. But what Dick Cheney is doing.
Sexuality either. I don't detect any sex.
Wait a minute, he's got two kids.
From the president. Yeah, but do you, like, with Clinton.
I know.
Even with Reagan, but with Clinton and there are certain other people, you could see him doing it.
Well, Reagan was an actor. You knew he got some.
Right, exactly. He lived the life. But Bush, I just, like, if he does do it, it's quick. And, you know, he probably apologizes a little after and then, you know, probably tries to breastfeed.
Not now.
That's what I see his sexuality as being, just sort of like, I'm sorry.
Not
and
now, tumbleweeds.
Like, yeah, come here, Mommy. That's how I see it.
Come here, Mommy?
Yeah, that's what I see.
He calls Laura Mommy?
I'm sure he calls Laura Mommy. Of course he does.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
I always thought that was like an uptown east side, you know.
No, he doesn't call her like dirty mommy. I like, okay, Mommy?
Not that kind of mommy.
No, like, Mommy, am I good?
Oh, yeah, that kind
yes,
of mommy.
Yes, yes. No, okay. It's a sad, wrong kind of mommy.
Oh,
yes.
Not M-A-M-I.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of like Reagan called Nancy. But no, I think Reagan, though, I think, I'm not going to. You know what?
Yeah, I know.
This is beneath us. Let's get back to the issue of politics and what Cheney's doing here. Is that you've got Cheney, who's saying this on one side, that he thinks it's a state issue, but he's going to let the president have his own opinion. That was an interesting bit of language in this article I just read that, you know, he's going to, where is it? He said that basically he said that Bush, you know, is entitled to his own opinion. I'll let him have that. He basically said that, you know, Bush wants to say he's going to amend the Constitution. But clearly what they're doing here, Riley, is they're playing to the two sides
of the Republican base.
This is coming less than a week before the Republican convention.
Yeah.
The Republican convention will be the height of moderation. And what Dick Cheney is doing by bringing his family into this issue and restating a position that he had already taken, by the way, 4 years ago. We had tape of him in 2000 essentially saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he articulate it a week before this convention opens? Because he's trying to show the independent voters in swing states, which a lot of these folks do really care about. I'm talking about the Republicans because, again, the goal here is to get elected. What they're doing is trying to appeal to those folks and making the conscious decision to take the risk that Bush's conservative base will not, first of all, where are they going to go except stay home, but that they will not stay home in massive enough numbers to deny Bush reelection.
Well, let's talk about, let's define conservative, and what you're talking about is this is the religious right conservative base, or as Thomas Frank calls them, the cons. And I think that the part of the base that Cheney is trying to speak to is the moderate Republican base of usually, fiscal conservatives who generally are almost libertarian in their views about, morality.
Or moderates.
Morality.
I mean, some of them actually, so for example, Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, supports choice on abortion.
Right.
That's something that the conservatives detest him for. Okay. Now, Mark, here's the thing. Before we go to break, we got to say this.
We got time.
This guy, Tony Perkins.
We got to go into this because this is exactly, Frank's book, and I'm going to let you finish, that, who is controlling, the base of the Republicans? It's a very weird thing that they're doing, but it's fairly, brilliant politically.
Oh, yeah.
Is that they're trying to accommodate both sides of this base, but you know what? The people that are putting the lower echelon of, governors, House of Representatives, school board people is the religious right.
Is the religious right. As embodied by this guy, Tony Perkins, who criticized Cheney's position, saying that protecting the traditional family for a lot of voters that he speaks to is more important than the economy and more important than jobs creation.
See, that's it. That's the insane thing is that, you would think that these people would wake up and realize that the Republican policies have put them, have compromised them economically. But they even if they do see that, they have leaders like this guy Perkins. They have leaders
Family
like
Research Council folks.
Yeah, Senator Brownback. And these people that pander to their morality, and they've actually got these people thinking they're making some sort of tremendous sacrifice by overlooking their economic, position in the world, by overlooking, anything that's going on other than getting their moral agenda through, because the only thing they have to hold on to is that the idea that the family structure and that God in their life is of all importance, and they have been convinced to be afraid of some sort of liberal elite that's slowly taking this all away from them.
But to see, this also fits their construct. You know why? Because of something you just said a minute ago.
Yeah.
And that is that on the state and local level, these folks are putting people in office.
Yes,
okay?
Exactly.
So as far as jobs creation and that sort of thing, those conservatives on the local level will do their bidding of the. They'll do the bidding of the family.
It's a hell of a gamble the moderates are taking, and it's a
incredible
gamble with this country. We'll talk more about it in a minute.
Coming up, the presidential palm pilot, the liberal agenda, terror watch, and more here on Air America Radio.
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
Add $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2000. New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman, the leadership of the Democratic Party. Terry McAuliffe says the demonstrators staging protests next week around the site of the Republican convention will need no help from the Democrats. Leader of the DNC says there's enough in President Bush's record over the last 4 years to inspire protests. Former Defense Secretary James Schlesinger has released his report on the prisoner abuse scandal at Abu Ghraib and elsewhere, assigning blame on American soldiers mostly and the Pentagon's most senior civilian and military officials for the abuse of detainees. Freelance Italian journalist remains in the hands of militants who kidnapped him last Friday in the holy city of Najaf. Najaf, as many of you know, has been the scene of intense fighting in the past 3 weeks. And Russian officials are still searching for clues for the cause of yesterday's crash of two airliners. Both planes virtually plunged to the earth at the same time, killing some 89 people on board. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
For too long, I've been working for a man, doing what the man says, taking it like a man. The man says, I can only hear one football game on the weekend, and the man tells me what game it's going to be. Well, now it's my turn. I get to take it all back from the man, because I got the NFL on Sirius. Every game, every week, everywhere. Sirius NFL Radio. Yeah, who's the man now?
George the Trash.
Yes, dear.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Robin is on the verge of bankruptcy and wants to know if debt consolidation is the answer. I'll tell her next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Robin use debt consolidation? Is debt consolidation a good thing? We don't want to file bankruptcy, but we're at rock bottom. Please answer. The only time I would recommend debt consolidation is to avoid bankruptcy. My guess is you're not as close to bankruptcy as you think. You're just desperate and scared and tired. And what you really need is a budget and maybe an extra job and a big garage sale. The problem with debt consolidation is it doesn't change the habits. And the habits are what have to change. In debt consolidation, 88% of the time that people move their credit card debt into a new form of debt, don't change their habits, and their credit card debt grows back. So now we got double debt and a real serious mess. So that's why I don't recommend debt consolidation, because it's a ripoff. The only reason the payments are lower is not because the interest rate's better, it's because you're going to be in debt longer. But if keeping your payments down will cause you to avoid bankruptcy, and that's the only thing that does, then I would. But I honestly think that you'd probably do some other things first.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
That rocks a little better. Mark Riley, we're talking about the religious right, one of my favorite topics, because literally we had the same response when we were reading those quotes from that guy Perkins. It's
yeah.
Like, what is this? What kind of insanity, delusional retardation
is
this?
That? Yeah.
That, you know, we're like, and how do you deal with these guys? How do you deal with it? How do you, even if the Democrats, you know, figure out a way to once again appeal to the disenfranchised working people, how do you deal with people who are willing to sacrifice reality in order to fight for something that is delusional? I don't understand it. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about belief in God. I'm not talking about any of that. But I will talk about it. Oh, look, there it is. There it is from Ramon in the Oval Office. He's been, like, I don't know why, but he's had to go undercover again. But here's the presidential schedule for today, taken from, you know why? I just realized it. He's not in the Oval Office.
He's not?
He's in Crawford. He's poking around out there at the ranch.
Ooh.
Which isn't a ranch. It's a mansion in the woods. There are no animals. Here we go. Here's the president's schedule for today. 9 o'clock a.m. Wake up in Crawford. It's me day. Whose day? George's day. Got to get in a spa day before the convention. Got to look beautiful. 10 a.m., aromatherapy. I love the smell of W in the morning. It smells like victory. 11 a.m., facial. Got to do something about those worry lines. I got it. Stop worrying. 1 p.m., have mud bath. Check with Arnold to see if this makes me a girly man. 2 p.m., organized collection of unearned military decorations. Hey, I won the Iron Cross. 4 p.m., make plans for second term, add 5 more weeks of vacation per year, appoint series of guest presidents. Who says I don't have vision, guest president?
That's actually a pretty good idea.
6 p.m., close height disadvantage with Kerry by entering Republican convention on horseback and then staying there for 4 days. 11 p.m., bedtime, think happy thoughts. Headline, quote, New Yorkers to erect giant statue of Bush on horseback at Ground Zero, end quote.
Yeah, right.
Brutal. So I was in the middle of getting worked up about that. How does one start to talk sense to a bunch of people who are willing to surrender sense for, end time prophecy obsession?
Okay, here's where you start. You start by asking yourself, how many people does the Family Research Council actually represent? That's where you got to start.
Well, there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them, but they're not as many as they want you to believe there are. Trust me on this. They represent a very vocal but not necessarily humongous interest group. You know, the Republicans are always great for talking about, we're the party that's against special interests. Well, not really. Not when you start looking at the influence that a lot of these groups, which some of them, not all of them, some of them have constituencies only in the double digits. Okay, they don't have large groups of people.
Like
they have a bunch of people that go out and raise money for their organizations. They got one or two guys who appear on the gas bag shows every now and then, and that's their organization.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that about the Family Research Council. Maybe Tony Perkins represents. Let's give him the benefit. Let's be liberal. Let's give him 10 million people.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'd like to believe you, and maybe you're right, but it seems to me that the reason that the Republicans constantly hit these wedge issues is that even if they're not extreme religious fanatics, even if they're not extremists in thought, and these people that are willing to sacrifice reality to honor their moral, their fears of immorality, culturally, let's say they're not the extremists. There are still people that are relatively moderate, though still working class, that still believe this stuff, that really believe deep down that if gay people start getting married, that it's a slippery slope to people having sex in the streets.
But see, where I have to stop and say, what are we talking about here, is, okay, you may believe that, but do you believe that your wallet is less important than a couple of gay guys that you don't even know getting married?
It's their sacrifice. Their sacrifice. We have to sacrifice ourselves to save the world of this immoral plague.
So Jimmy and Buffy won't go to college so you can see to it that gays don't marry.
Jimmy and Buffy don't need to go to college. We'll school them at home and teach them how to hate with an ideology.
There's John Hancock College.
Exactly. Where
is that place? I forgot.
Exactly. They're willing to give Jimmy and Buffy a scholarship if they will toe the party line.
Yeah, is a step for future, Mark, that I hope none of us actually have to experience.
But this is the gamble they're taking, and this is exactly what Thomas Frank is talking about. If it hasn't become obvious, I read Thomas Frank's book cover to cover, and it just blew my mind, they are willing to take this gamble on these people, who really have an agenda of Christianizing the United States of America. And I'm not saying Christian in the sense of Christian principles. I am saying Christo-fascists, as Mark Crispin Miller puts it.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that are not ideologically or in behavior, Christian people. They are people that believe in a type of nationalism that is founded in a fear that uses Christian moral principles to terrify the followers into believing in something. It is a way that politicians and strange cult leaders mobilize this particular breed of American. And it's very frightening.
I'll tell you what, though, it looks like more and more Americans are at least getting tired of hearing politicians about religion.
Thank God. Thank Buddha. Thank Allah.
There's a new Pew Research poll that says that there's been a dramatic shift from just a year ago. And the biggest group of people who are shifting away from hearing politicians talk this smack? White Catholics.
Yeah.
White Catholics are saying, look, we're tired of this. And I'll tell you why I think a lot of people...
Catholics have been through a lot.
Yeah, I know. They have been through a lot. But you know what it is? I think that a lot of people in this country are starting to understand that politicians, due to the business that they're in, have no business moralizing to anybody about anything.
Well, it's good that the Catholics are doing this because the Catholics, oddly, are a religious group that sort of, minds its own business in some respects. And they have clearly been... very pandered to. Like these Christian right that we're talking about, they are led by certain people that are basically political operatives. So they're not like they have
Ralph
been.
Ralph Reed and all those people.
They have been politicized. They have been duped by people who are stooges for Republican policy. Now, these guys, not by not Republican policy, but by Republicans. Mm-hmm. Now, the Catholics, on the other hand, have clearly seen what it's like to be pandered to in the disingenuous way that all politicians pander to them. So it makes sense to me that they would be the first to sort of say this.
Well, according to this particular research poll, 41% of the respondents in 2003 said politicians discussed their faith too little. Only 31% felt that way in the latest survey. We got more numbers on that as well, which I think we'll get back to momentarily.
Let's do it in a second here on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
On the first day, he said, "Let there be light." And there was. And it was good.
Damn.
On the second came the separation of the waters, and land, and birds, and sea creatures, and then man. And it was good. And then, on the seventh day, he created 16 channels of rock. Rock.
And it was awesome! Summer rock!
On Sirius. Bingo.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment. Here's Jerry Kay.
Russell Trame, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas.
It's a hard time, I think, for those who care about the environment. I think we're seeing special interests taking a very decisive role within the policy debates within the administration. We see ex-lobbyists from paper and pulp industry, coal, oil and gas, in important policy-making positions all through our government today. That was never the case when I was at EPA. We're also seeing the White House injecting itself into regulatory decisions, overriding, distorting the science, and essentially making decisions from a political standpoint. I never saw anything like that ever when I was administrator of EPA and under either Nixon or Ford.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
I'd like to tell you about an attacker. My friend was hit by a stroke. His left side got weak and he was helpless. Thankfully, someone called 911. So if it ever happens to you or someone around you, call 911. This is Will Downing, friend of a stroke survivor. Strokes attack African Americans more often. Find out why. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, Recording Artists, Actors, and Athletes Against Drunk Driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life. Good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Project Impact is a FEMA initiative that brings communities together to take actions that prepare for and protect against natural disasters before they happen. The concept of Project Impact is simple. We can accomplish more by working together than we can by working alone. For more information about how you can use Project Impact to build a disaster-resistant community, visit www.fema.gov.
President Turd Boys out in Crawford getting all filled with bully juice, getting ready for next week.
You've been reading the blog again, haven't you?
I said turd first.
Huh? 23 past the hour.
Oh.
Remember?
Yes.
I don't remember much.
It is 43 past the hour. Next week we'll be broadcasting live from the belly of the beast, the Republican National Convention of Madison Square Garden. Tim, let's hear that ad.
If you want to know about George W. Bush's service to his country, just talk to the men who served with him.
Bush? Yeah, twitchy fella. Kept getting nosebleeds and talking all night.
He's the father of my three children. Possibly.
I served with Bush. We were abducted by aliens and spent 4 long days being violated by steel probes.
I'll never go back to Mexico.
I served with Bush. I mean, I was in the guard at the same time he was. He had a locker. Maybe he was on the late shift.
Had a hook for a hand?
Sure. Bush was an abortion doctor. Everyone knows that.
This ad is sponsored by the Texas Air National Guard Veterans Worship.
You know, we were just talking about Cheney making that statement in Iowa, I think it was. Apparently he made another statement that I'd like to read off of this from, what is this, from the QC Times?
Quad City Times.
Yeah. That's right. A teary woman at Cheney's town hall meeting Tuesday at the Davenport Radisson explained how her husband lost his job of 22 years at Marley Pump, the century-old Davenport maker of red jacket pumps, downsized repeatedly until finally pulling out in 2001. Quote, "It's been a rough 5 years," she said, with her family relying on her salary alone. The question for the vice president, what can be done? Cheney responded in lockstep with his party's economic platform. Tort reform to limit employers' liability, permanent tax cuts to lower employers' costs, regulatory relief to further lower employers' costs, trade adjustment to protect companies from foreign competition. What is that? Nothing about health care, nothing about any sort of benefits. So there you go. I just gave you a list of how we're going to make life easier for the employer. So maybe when he gets relaxed and he feels better about things, your husband can go back there and try and get a job there again. What the hell kind of answer is that? See, and that plays right against his sort of like, I think it's okay that my daughter be happy. Shut it. You're a devil. You're a reptile. You're the worst.
Well, you know what it is? He's going to, the next thing he comes up with, because he came up with this thing about his daughter, the next thing he comes up with is going to be some ultra-conservative nonsense that we're all used to from this guy.
Well, that was pretty conservative. Now, let's talk about, let's finish up this religion bit in that, let's read some of this poll.
Oh, yeah.
So 34% of respondents said that same-sex marriage issue would be a very important factor in the presidential votes, while as almost as many, 30%, said it would not be a factor at all. So there you go, another thing that split almost down the middle. That, to me, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with nothing. Let them get married. Let them do whatever they want. Everyone should be able to do that. It doesn't make any difference to you.
Well, you know, there's some other stuff that they polled that was interesting. 64% of respondents said the Catholic bishops were wrong to deny communion to Catholic politicians who break with church teaching on abortion. That was an issue with John Kerry. Only 22% backed that ban. 69% of those surveyed were opposed to political parties asking church members for congregation lists. You remember that was something that the Bush campaign was trying to do.
Well, that's bad. I mean, that they shouldn't be allowed to do that. And if they are doing that, if they are, you know, if you have any information about that, if your priest or minister or cult leader is coming into the sanctuary and saying, you know, look, you know, we want you all to vote Republican. If you could fill out your names, you don't mind if we give the voting registration people or the voting... The Republicans are the list of the church's congregants. If they're doing that, it's against the law, and they could lose their status as a nonprofit because it's against IRS protocol, right?
They would be becoming a political advocacy group.
Exactly. So if you have any information on that, email us at morningsedition.com, or maybe even call us if you want. If you're hearing about this within your religious institutions, because it's wrong, and we'll call Barry Lynn right now and we'll tell him to get down there and do something about it.
Now, legally, they can turn over the church lists. There's no technical legal stricture against them doing that. They could be challenged for doing it legally. In other words, their status as tax exempt could be challenged based on them doing it.
Exactly.
But there is no law that says they cannot do it.
Here's a little good news on the war against religion. The battle against
the battle for separation of church and state.
Exactly. Just because I don't believe in God doesn't mean you can't. You know, you're free to do what you need. I got my M&Ms. I'm good. All right. A school district. This is in Little Rock, Arkansas. The 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said the U.S. District Court in Little Rock was right to issue an injunction against prayers during staff meetings at the Devall's Bluff School District, but they said it did so for the wrong reasons. But what I want to know is, if you work at a place, am I crazy? Like,
Could you imagine if we came in here at 4 o'clock in the morning?
That's right.
If I
worked at a place and I walked in and my manager said, "Can we please join hands? Oh, Heavenly Father," I'd be like, whoa, time out. Reality check. What's going on here? I understand that prayer is powerful for some people, and it grounds them, and it may do wonderful things for them, and even may even bring people closer together, but please, in a public school, in the workplace, I mean, unless everyone's on the same page, you know, can we not do that?
See, I was always taught that prayer was a very private thing. It was your ability to communicate with your maker. You don't have to do public displays to communicate with your maker. It used to always bug me after basketball and football games. You get these big circle of guys who just finished beating each other's brains out, and they all stand there and they kneel and they pray. You don't have to be public with that. It is a private communication. Keep it private. I don't want to know about your prayers.
Unless you're church.
Yeah.
You know, or at synagogue.
Well, that's where I feel that there is a lot of power in prayer.
Yeah.
There, I mean, so many different religions do it. I guess there must be something to it. Right?
When they mix prayer and sports at any time, it gives me the creeps. Prayer and sports together, very creepy.
Well, you see a 300-pound down lineman say, praise God,
yeah.
You kind of wonder exactly how he reconciles that with what he does for a living.
Well, it's just, I don't know, there's just such a fine line between prayer and sports and prayer and the military parade. Am I wrong?
There's nothing wrong with military parades. As long as nobody gets shot.
Is wrong with military parades.
Okay.
I'm just like, I had this image when I see prayer and sports together, and then I see prayer and people joined in prayer, and there are tanks going down the street, and on the flag is the cross.
You're talking about a whole onward Christian soldiers motif.
Yeah, I'm talking about a Christian fascist movement.
Yes.
What did you say, John, in my head? What did you say it again in my head?
There you go.
Yeah, I know.
It.
I know what I can do. You know, I work here. All right, Smarty Pants Larson. Tim is on the board. He's doing a good job. Brendan, still engaged, I think, day 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Good for you. Holding strong with the Canadian diamond. She's at home looking at the diamond right now. She's up going, "What does Canadian mean? Does that mean it's a good one?" You know, we'll be back with the liberal agenda in a second on Air America Radio.
Presidential election is just around the corner. The right has their propaganda. Make sure you have yours. Northern Sun can help. For over 25 years, we've been supplying the American left with t-shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and a whole lot more. Do you think we need a president selected fairly? Tell your fellow Americans with a bumper sticker. Redefeat Bush in 2004. Do you think we need a smarter president? Say it with a t-shirt. Somewhere in Texas, there's a village missing an idiot. Do you think we need an honest president? Tell him with a bike sticker. Bush lied, thousands died. With hundreds of bumper stickers, buttons, and American-made t-shirts, Northern Sun can help you wear your thoughts on your sleeve, car, or bicycle. Visit northernsun.com or call 800-258-8579 for a catalog. And if your group has a unique message, we can custom print it on shirts, buttons, or bumper stickers. Remember, regime change begins at home, so let's vote Bush out. Call 800-258-8579 or visit northernsun.com. Thank you, and God bless the whole world. No exceptions.
The one and only Fabulous Beatles!
From Liverpool.
For the first time in history,
ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Around the globe.
But ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles have now taken over the world.
And across the universe. 40 years later, they still rock our world. Celebrating the Beatles. Classic vinyl.
If you think of a library as that place where shh is the only thing you hear, think again. Many are being forced to cut back hours, reduce services, even close their doors. The time to support your local library is now. Contact your library to find out how you can help keep the doors open. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. For more info, visit the American Library Association at www.ala.org.
Here's the 2-1. Swing a long one! It is!
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Conservation International applies innovations in science, economics, policy, and community participation to protect the Earth's richest natural regions. Their objective is to conserve plant and animal diversity in major tropical wilderness areas and key marine ecosystems. With headquarters in Washington, D.C., CI works in more than 30 countries on 4 continents. For more information about CI's programs, please visit www.conservation.org.
We're fighting for our lives here. I can't even get my coffee machine to work.
I had that day today already. You know, I woke up in the morning. You know, some days where things just fall down. You know, I was filled with self-loathing and spite. All right? You know, I didn't bring it on the air, I don't think. Maybe a little bit, but I'm trying to, you know, to separate my personal insecurity-based spite and resentment of other people. There are some days where I just wake up and I think that anybody else's success in the world is some indication that I am failing. Do you ever feel that, Mark Reilly? You don't have to admit it.
Sometimes I look at other people's success and say, how did an idiot like that manage to become successful?
That's exactly it, because they're idiots. They never go, am I good enough? They never say, like, am I going to win? You know, they never say things like, does my hair look okay? They just go, where do I sit?
Perfect. Yeah, perfect.
I feel great.
Yeah. You know, and they sign 4-year contracts for 6 figures a year.
Yeah, okay.
But that's okay.
Who's your hate puppet? It's weird when somebody...
The entire New York press court. No.
Everybody has that one dude, that one woman, that one man, that one group, that one band, that one person who has the job you want. Everybody has that barometer of hatred, that hate icon in their life, that whenever they have a spare moment where things look grim and hopeless, if you're a heathen like me, in those moments, instead of saying, hey, it's got nothing to do with me, I'm okay... You know, my life is fine. I'm on my own trajectory. Instead of doing that or saying, God, please rid me of these spiteful, hateful feelings and stop me from gossiping or making a phone call that I shouldn't or launching into an email campaign that I shouldn't or going to that porn site again. Instead of doing that...
Hey, there's nothing wrong with going to porn sites. But let me tell you something.
There is something sad about it, though, sometimes, Mark. But there may be nothing wrong about it, but there's no celebrating when you finish that activity. So what I'm saying is, instead of doing those things, you find that one person in your head that it represents everything you hate and has everything you want, and just sit there and seethe for a few minutes.
But see, everything I hate is not always embodied in everything I want. I've been around enough people, I'm sure you have too, who are relatively talentless but avaricious enough to become extremely successful, and you see them at green rooms at some of these cable news channels.
And they're always nice to you.
They're always nice to you, but you know what they do? Yeah. They come in there with a bag full of Chinese food, because they're going to be there all day. They commandeer the phones, and then they proceed to call different producers at the same network to get on other shows.
See, now, see all those details? Way too specific. You have someone in mind. The Chinese food thing gave it away. You have someone in mind.
I'm not saying.
There was an event that involved Chinese food. You have a person. That was not a general statement. There's our liberal agenda for today. Here's your marching orders. One, organize junior protest summer camp for any inner city preschoolers. Wow. Two, call New York Circle Line boat tour. Have them add sex museum, abortion clinics, and Norman Mailer's apartment to their sightseeing tour. Perfect. Three, call CBS. Urge them to replace Craig Kilborn with Noam Chomsky. There's a compelling hour of television. Four, during the convention, organize 24-hour Native American drum circle outside the most popular delegate hotels. Five, phrase of the day, just drop it into conversation. Quote, why haven't we heard from the Vietnamese Swift Boat veterans? Huh? What about them? End quote. So what do we got next hour? We got Steve Earle coming up.
We got Steve Earle coming up.
We're going to talk about Iraq a little bit, and what else?
We've got Nevada Congresswoman Shelley Berkley coming up. We've got the War on Brains. We've got Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and Kerry will not back off his anti-war record or his anti-war activism.
Great.
His war record, I should say. All coming up here on Air America Radio.
It was way too much for my body, and I started tripping really, really bad. I curled up in a ball in a corner, started ripping out my hair, then slit my wrist with a steak knife. Fell into a coma and had to get my stomach pumped. I'm now in therapy in a rehab group. At school, I'm not even called by my name anymore. People just refer to me as that junkie.
This 15-year-old didn't die using ecstasy, though she probably wished she had. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Hi, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you're blind or unable to read because of physical impairment, we'll mail you free recorded selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. For 8 hours of great writing every other month, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
Compromise off. Sirius on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Sirius. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. While the reporter on prisoner abuse in Abu Ghraib places a lot of the blame on the American soldiers manning the facility and others, a report by former Defense Secretary James Schlesinger and members of his commission also cites the actions, or lack of most senior civilian and military officials. The report stops short of calling for the ouster of the current Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. The panel, however, all but cited that Rumsfeld and his aides as cultivating the atmosphere resulting in the abuse of prisoners. The panel also said his office, without mentioning him by name, failed to anticipate and promptly respond to the post-invasion insurgency in Iraq. The report is not necessarily welcome news at the White House this morning on the eve of the Republican National Convention in New York. Bush's poor poll numbers on his handling of the war remain a concern for the re-election campaign. The president can least afford more damaging news about the handling of Iraqi prisoners in Abu Ghraib and elsewhere. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry made a preemptive strike in the city of New York yesterday, just days ahead of the Republican National Convention. Kerry told cheering supporters at Cooper Union, "Don't believe the hype next week from the GOP." Kerry gave his own assessment of the last 4 years and the tactics used by the Bush White House.
I'm here today to call for a truthful and a robust debate about our values as Americans, but from the other side, we've seen a calculated effort to evade that debate. The Bush campaign and its allies have turned to the tactics of fear and smear because they can't talk about jobs, health care, energy independence, and rebuilding our alliances.
Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry at New York's Cooper Union yesterday. Reports from the Republican Party say President Bush is hopeful to hit a home run next week. When the GOP convenes in New York for its national convention, the president wants to reach beyond his conservative base and appeal to undecided voters. Bush wants Americans to feel better about the direction of their country and the politics of their president. From all indications, Bush will have a lot of selling to do since the violence continues to escalate in Iraq. The employment market is only showing slight improvement, and his overall approval rating is below the norm for a president seeking a second term. Democrats say those factors and more will have to happen actually favorably for at the Republican convention for public opinion to sway in a different direction. Leadership of the Democratic National Party, Terry McAuliffe, says that thousands of demonstrators expected to converge in New York near the site of the Republican convention need no help from the Democrats. McAuliffe says the issues facing Bush speak for themselves. The DNC chief says the protesters will be in New York in large numbers because of the failed presidency of George W. Bush. McAuliffe denied claims by the Republican counterpart suggesting a blurry line between Democrats and the protesters. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
For too long, I've been working for the man, doing what the man says, taking it like a man. The man says, I can only hear one football game on the weekend, and the man tells me what game it's going to be. Well, now it's my turn. I get to take it all back from the man, because I got the NFL on Sirius. Every game, every week, everywhere. Sirius NFL Radio. Yeah, who's the man now?
George, the trash!
Yes, dear.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Should Jan sell Mary Kay to earn some extra money? I'll help her make up her mind after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Jan sell Mary Kay for cash? Dave, what are your thoughts about selling Mary Kay for extra income?
Well, they're mixed. The organization as a whole is an incredible organization. The lady herself has passed away, but was legendary as a motivator. So overall, I'm a fan. I think if I were going to be a detractor, it would be on two things. One is that sometimes in multi-level organizations, the hype gets out of control, and people are told, wrongfully so, that they can work 3 hours a week and make $100,000 a year. That's bull. The other downside is, and I think they've about quit this because I've trashed them on air so many times about it, but there was one hierarchy in particular telling ladies to buy the makeup on their credit card in advance so they would have inventory to sell. If you got to keep a garage full of inventory, you got the wrong business. I think I gave a fair across the board, good and bad there. Let's leave it at that.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Good.
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer. Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Ah, steady the blade. Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour. And this is Morning Sedition.
Here we go. What can we do?
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, okay. We can do a little of that and maybe a little of
the
this.
The American people are safer. We are nation in danger. We are nation in danger. We are nation in danger. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we.
Got to be honest with you, man. That's Mark Riley. I'm Mark Maron. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. We've got Tim on the board. We've got Smarty Pants Larson on the inside. Brendan, the newly engaged Brendan, or should we call him P.W. McDonald? Wait, we got
oh, Dan. That was hard, man. I hope his fiance is not up, all right?
P.P., the son of Lewis and Linda Pashman. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, New Jersey. Still, yesterday, after the show, man, we Lewis and Linda sent us a big platter of white fish.
We're going to have to call it, yeah, white
salmon,
fish Pashman.
Capers, we got the rye bread, we got the bagels, and like Pashman was like just like going nuts over the leftovers. He's like, he's putting the white fish salad into cups, separate cups for each of us. And, like, after the show yesterday, I was like, you watch, man, we're going to get downstairs and Pashman's going to be knee deep in white fish salad. You know, just like, and I get down there and he's like, yeah, it's all organized, man. I got crackers. We're not going to waste a bit of this. This has been going on for days, man. I can't wait till this fish is out of this place. I mean, I had a good time with it, but then he got me all pack ratty because when it comes to wasting food, I will not do it, and I'm crazy with that. So he's got me making sandwiches for this morning. I hope the salmon is gone. We enjoyed it, but I cannot handle the weird hoarding conservation efforts of Dan Pashman around the deli platter. Anyways, that there are bigger things to protest about. It's, you know, I don't know what's going on with these protests now. I don't know.
Which one? In Najaf or New York?
Well, Najaf is happening. Apparently Sistani's going to march on Najaf. He's coming back into Iraq, but there's some they're deliberating as to whether or not the protesters will actually be able to be at the shrine or that they should be in Baghdad in a cordoned off area. So they're trying to figure out where they can hold the protests.
Yeah. Sounds a lot like New York.
But yeah, well, that would be the analogy, Mark, but it's the sugar is making you swell.
Hey, hey.
No, actually, the Sistani has just been reported will be coming to Central Park. Bloomberg has said it's okay for Sistani and the followers of Sistani and some of the El Sadr people to congregate in Central Park, but the people that want to protest here in New York during the Republican National Convention must do it in New Jersey.
Yes, on the other side of the bridge or the tunnel.
So this is interesting stuff. Let's go ahead and do this, and I'll talk about my silly stuff in a minute. You know, I don't know what's happened to my board, but I don't understand it anymore. You know what I mean? I was just getting the hang of it as an instrument, and now I don't know where anything is anymore. I don't know where my terror noise is.
Your terror noise is gone.
It is. It's
gone the way of all sound.
Terror Watch.
There you go.
So we've got Sistani. Do you understand what's happening there, Mark?
I think I do.
Okay.
In a strange way, I think I do. I think Sistani is going to be eventually viewed as the savior of this Imam Ali shrine.
Mm-hmm.
That really is a very... See, I'm not sure that a lot of Americans understand how important this place is, how important Najaf is as a city.
Right.
To Iraqis. And Sistani, who, of course, has been in London getting treatment, heart treatment for the last 3 weeks,
yeah,
is coming back to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the United States and the Mehdi army of Muqtada al-Sadr have been fighting, you know, tooth and nail over the shrine. The Americans have surrounded it, trying to tighten this noose. And I think Sistani is announcing this march because I think he wants to see his legacy as that of being the savior of this shrine.
You know, it's like since I've taken this job with you and have gotten to know how you think and also been sort of as more informed than I've ever been in my life about anything, just everything in general, is that politics is politics no matter where you are in this world.
Absolutely.
And what you're basically saying is Sistani is seizing an opportunity to take hold of the big Muslim vote. He's coming in there and he's like, this is my turf. I'm the guy. I'm the peacemaker. Yep. I got friends in Iran. So Al-Sadr is an upstart. You know, if he wants to work in my office, he can. But you know what? Let's not mistake on who the true Muslim nads rest.
That's right. And Alawi, of course, the guy who's supposed to be running Iraq, is largely irrelevant.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been able to stop this fighting.
Yeah.
He hasn't been able to do much of anything other than parrot whatever the Americans
are saying.
No,
Alawi. Oh yeah, Alawi's like, you know, he's
just sort of there.
They're gonna have to let this play out. This is like it's very interesting stuff.
He's like that crazy lady you see at Dunkin' Donuts every now and then. He's just there.
I just realized that she was homeless the other day.
Really?
I didn't realize she was. I thought she was just sort of couldn't sleep kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But she was sleeping.
Oh, she's crashing out in
the... Yeah, the last 2 nights. And then I saw her today, and I kind of felt bad. Because it's weird when you sort of, like, get this fake relationship with a lunatic that you see every day.
Yeah.
You know, you sort of, like, you grow to really like them and in some weird way. You have a relationship with them. And then all of a sudden they cross this other level. Like, I saw her sleeping, and I felt like, oh, I shouldn't be seeing this. You know, so now I look at her kind of weird.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know exactly how I managed to get you sidetracked into the Dunkin' Donuts. No, that was my fault because I'm the one that brought up. But see, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You've got a situation where Al-Sadr,
Al-Sadr, the rock star?
Al-Sadr.
Muslim insurgents?
The icon of the downtrodden. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy.
I'm hit. Look, I got another bullet in me. I am so close to martyrdom, you must like me.
Yeah. But he's done some things that have confounded the Americans recently. He has indicated a willingness to sit down and negotiate. He essentially saved the life of that journalist from New York's Greenwich Village, who was over there kidnapped and who was facing beheading. It was Al-Sadr's people that said, look, let him go, and they did.
Yeah.
Al-Sadr seems to be much more pliant, much more prone to negotiate. Now, maybe that is because he's carrying some shrapnel in him. I don't know.
Isn't it interesting how we're talking about this? This is a political campaign we're reporting.
Absolutely, it's a political campaign. And it's a political campaign that America, despite having conquered the country, cannot control. They can't control Sistani. They can't control Al-Sadr. Neither one of them.
And Alawi's having his own problems controlling people, too, apparently. There's a lot of chaos there. And I think Sistani, it really comes down to, in my research lately, you know, who's got the big Iranian Ayatollah connection.
Mm-hmm.
That apparently the real deals, you know, the some of the heavier cats in this world that they live in are Iranian.
Well, see, now think about that for a minute.
Yes.
You've got the Iranian Shiites, you've got the Iraqi Shiites. Yeah. They do have some common cause, right?
Well, they must be some Iranians within al-Sadr's insurgency. There must be
there's no doubt about
operatives.
That.
Some of the Afghan Arabs are probably there.
But look at the larger picture here. Mm-hmm. Remember, the Shiites are not just in Iran and Iraq. They're in other parts of the Middle East as well. But remember that the huge number of them are concentrated in Iran, okay? Where did George W. Bush say that he'd be casting his lonesome eye if he gets a second term?
Mm-hmm.
Iran.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that the Shiites in Iraq and the Shiites in Iran watch CNN every now and then and realize that Bush has got a loaded gun at Iraq's next-door neighbor,
right,
and maybe they ought to do something about it now in terms of organizing to prevent that from taking
mm-hmm.
place?
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the political backdrop that's going on here. And you know, when John Kerry talks about George W. Bush being totally unprepared to wage peace in Iraq, this is what he's talking about, because this is out of control of any Americans that are over there.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's clear that there's really no way they can't even control within their own country.
No.
I mean, it's completely out of our hands, and we've destabilized the whole region, and now it's full of terrorists.
Now it's full of terrorists who have their own separate agenda.
Yeah.
Sistani's agenda is not necessarily the same agenda as the terrorists.
Well, Sistani's been playing this in my head, that where he's like, you know, if the stuff settles down and the parliamentary government starts to work, he wants to make sure that he's the dude that's in charge of the Shiite.
Yeah, absolutely. And he knows that al-Sadr is a popular figure among the poor of Iraq, among the downtrodden, particularly among the youth. He's got to contend with that, even though he is easily the most popular political or religious figure in the country. I mean, there's no doubt about that, no question. Alawi and al-Sadr are essentially fighting for second place in this.
That's right.
And see, if we... As Americans who went over there and invaded the country and created this instability are not aware of all these little nuances, then we are going to be responsible for total chaos, not just in Iraq, but in the entire region.
I know. Mark, why don't they listen to us? Because we know everything. We'll talk about another campaign that's happening right here in the States. It's for president, remember?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
On Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
Come to Mr. Speaker Hall with your movie listing for the week of August 38. You know what? There isn't a film worth seeing. But here's an idea. How about full coverage of the Republican National Convention on your Sirius radio? Press 140 this year.
Okay.
141 and 142 for conservative views with Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Tony Snow. For coverage from the left side, press 143, 144, and 149 to hear Young Turks live, Air America, and Sirius OutQ. The RNC. Rated G. Opens Monday, August 30th. Thanks for calling Mr. Speaker Hall.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment. Here's Jerry Kay.
Russell Train, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. Are you actively involved in the Republican Party these days?
Somebody asked me recently, are you leaving the Republican Party? Have you left? I said, not at all. But I think the Republican Party may well have left me. We're seeing an administration that, by and large, has been negative on environmental matters, has gone the wrong way, has taken us backward instead of forward, not only in global warming, but in a whole host of other matters, Clean Air Act, the control of emissions from power plants and other industry, protection of wetlands, and forest policy is entirely backward, it strikes me. I'm very unhappy with what I see today.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
When is the right time to start talking with children about marijuana? Before they see or hear any pro-use messages or images. Before anyone their age has used it. Before anyone encourages them to try it. Before it becomes their first step towards substance abuse, school problems, health and safety risks, and illegal activity. Reality check. It's never too soon to talk to your kids about marijuana. For tips on getting started, call 1-800-729-6686.
Past the hour. Who let Pastrin pick the music today? I'm giving Pastrin a lot of airtime. Dan Pastrin, son of Lewis and Linda Pastrin of New Jersey. Right now, when is my therapist going to come back? I'm about to snap, dude. I'm like,
really?
I'm setting aside time to seize in the morning.
You know, isn't he due back this week?
Next week.
Next week, okay.
And they're stacking up. Here's last night's dream. I'm surrounded by all the little liberal rabbits at the coffee house. They're drinking lattes, they're wearing their handmade Peruvian sweaters, they've got Greenpeace bumper stickers on their fluffy little tails. The one with the PhD in sociology wrinkles her little nose and says, ooh, I hope Carrie doesn't go too negative about those Swiftboat ads. They all nod and twitch their little noses and say, oh yeah, that's not what we're about. Anger is gross. Another one is in a hard scarf and says, our candidate must be calm and look what happened to Dean, and they all nod and twitch their little nose and say, Dean, too loud. I've heard enough of this crap, and I stand up and I say, hey, we're dealing with ruthless bastards here. Being right isn't going to be enough this time. We've got to go off on these people. Maybe Dean was right. The rabbits recoil and run for cover. A few spill their lattes. Honesty and spilled $5 coffee always ruins their day. From behind a chair, one rabbit in a hemp pullover says, no, you know, Mark, you're wrong, okay, because we're going to win because, you know, we're right, and of course because we're smarter and better and listen to NPR and don't watch NASCAR. Another one with her little rabbit lip pierce says, God, Mark, I can't believe you stood up and screamed at this group. That is so racist. You're not going to start, you know, making jokes, are you? Because that is so insensitive. Just then, John Kerry comes crashing through the wall of the coffee shop, wearing fatigues, face painted in camo green, bullets draped across his chest. He's got that wild Howard Dean look in his eye. He's sweating like James Brown, and the veins in his arms are throbbing. Two of the rabbits faint. So, he says, tightening his green headband, they're going to pee on my war record, huh? Well, they may have dodged a war back then, but they're not going to dodge this one. Lock and load. Death or glory. Rah! And he runs and crashes through another wall of the coffee shop, spraying bullets and grenades in all directions. For the next 10 minutes, we could hear John Kerry's hideous screams and his trail of devastation echo and fade in the distance. The rabbits and I stood in the ruined coffee house and just looked at each other. After a minute, I say, well, that was good. Now, if we could just bring it back to, you know, just bring it back, you know, this much, I think it would be better. Just tone it down just a little. I woke up and my bed was filled with a cinnamon shaker.
Sweating like James Brown. Do you know what the implications of sweating like James Brown really are?
Tell me, Mark.
Nah, never mind.
Mark almost went there and he didn't. What do you know?
Hey.
So let's talk about John Kerry fighting back, defending his war record, defending what we played yesterday almost in its entirety,
mm-hmm.
his 1971 speech
before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, where he laid out and see.
I'm glad he owns it because it was a pretty passionate bit.
It was a passionate bit, and the thing is, and this is the part that is really just so disingenuous about what the Republicans and the Swiftboat people are doing. John Kerry was relating stories he heard from other soldiers, ladies and gentlemen. Not things that he said he did himself, not things that were speculation on his part. People, when they did that Winter Soldier series of meetings, people came forward and they admitted to this. And there are people who served in Vietnam, who served honorably and admirably in Vietnam, who could really just not stomach the idea that these kinds of abuses came to light. Either they didn't see them happen themselves, so they didn't believe they existed, or they saw them happen but figured that because in through most of them, if not all of America's previous wars, they were overlooked and not spoken about, they would not be spoken about in the wake of Vietnam, but Vietnam changed that.
Right, so there was a loyalty issue, and there was an issue between, you know, the difference between shame and duty, that if something can fall, you know, categorically in someone's mind under the umbrella of duty, that these guys, you know, did not, you know, I'm certainly not taking anything away from Vietnam vets. They've been through a lot. But the guys that are bitter at Kerry for what they accuse him of outing them somehow, you know, of bringing up their, you know, their dirty laundry or discrediting their service, that, you know, the idea that this stuff falls under the umbrella of service and can be sort of categorized in the brain that way is a little faulty. And these guys are bitter at him for what they see as sort of, I guess, being a turncoat.
Well, what happened was at the end of the Vietnam War in the mid-1970s, 74, 75, as the bulk of the troops were coming home, there were a lot of anti-war people in this country who didn't differentiate between just plain soldiers and soldiers who may have committed any of these atrocities.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent, a lot of soldiers got tainted with a very, very broad brush as they came home. They came home thinking they were going to get a hero's welcome.
That's what
soldiers got when they came home in America.
Yeah.
And instead, they came home and heard people calling them baby killers.
Right. And the veterans that believed that they were doing their duty saw John Kerry as becoming part of that group.
Yes, absolutely. Where, and they resent it 30-some-odd years later. But Kerry is standing up. Kerry is speaking to the fact that this is a Republican nexus. There's a Republican nexus to all this criticism that's going on.
What about the shameful behavior of this administration to irritate these wounds again? There are so many veterans, a few that we've talked to on this show, that are saying they are exploiting a type of self of anger and pain, you know, in these guys that are just, you know, some of them are just beginning to manage, you know, the experience they had, just beginning to put it into perspective, just beginning to get past it personally. And this administration of draft dodgers and draft defectors comes out, opens those wounds up, those emotional and psychological wounds up again, to politicize this war again without any respect for these veterans.
But ask yourself why. John Kerry was speaking right here in New York. He was at Cooper Union, which is about maybe 20 blocks from here.
Because they got
yesterday. And he explains his view of why they're bringing up all of these old issues.
I'm here today to call for a truthful and a robust debate about our values as Americans and the fundamental choices that we will make at a critical time in America's and indeed in the world's history. That is what this election should be about. But from the other side, we've seen a calculated effort to evade that debate. The Bush campaign and its allies have turned to the tactics of fear and smear because they can't talk about jobs, health care, energy independence, and rebuilding our alliances.
See, he's going to talk about the issues. John Kerry is
talking about the issues.
Because we're fighting for our lives here. Now, the new ad campaign that's going down in Nevada from the Republicans, from the Bush administration, is accusing John Kerry of voting for the nuclear waste disposal at Yucca Mountain, which is something the voters and the public and the populace, all of those within the umbrella of the people of Nevada, are against.
They are highly, highly upset.
Yeah.
And have been for a long time.
But it's a misrepresentation. It's, again, when you have a career politician who has done a tremendous amount of, good work in the Senate, you know, for 20 years, you know, bills come and go and certain bills change and evolve and votes, you know, shift and they, you know, sometimes yes, sometimes no, depending on the certain things that were added to
it. Well, it's appropriations.
Right.
Sometimes there's a rider attached to a specific program that senator may want to get passed.
And you have a president that has really no political experience whatsoever aside from being a governor. You know, you've got a guy that has, you know, fought for people, you know, throughout his career, you know, John Kerry, and this guy is, George Bush is taking, he's extrapolating things from a lifelong Senate career and using them, you know, as ammunition against him. It's unfair. And we're going to talk to Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Berkley, you know, after the break about, she's from Nevada, so she's going to tell us what's really going on. Because Bush is the guy that supports this thing. Kerry, you know, supported something. He supported investigation of a place to put this nuclear waste originally, and then after terrorism, you know, decided that it wasn't a good idea to have a dirty bomb traveling across country.
I actually voted twice against it. Yeah. When we come back, Nevada Congresswoman Shelley Berkley on Yucca Mountain, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and later, musician and Air America host Steve Earle. All for you here on Air America Radio.
Nationwide, the price of farmland has continued to rise. Farm real estate values have climbed more than 7%, averaging $1,360 per acre in January of this year. This is the largest percentage increase since 1994. Minnesota has the fastest growing farm real estate value, clocking in at 12.5% over last year. The skyrocketing prices are tempting some farmers to sell land, as they would earn more selling the farm than working it. This has been a Wendell Bob Report. I'm Jesse Russell.
This Dab Bob Report brought to you by the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Analysts say millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The panel examining prisoner abuse issued this long-awaited report citing blame on the part of American soldiers and the most senior civilian and military officials in the Pentagon. The report did not recommend the oust of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, but his fingerprints are all over the agency's handling of the Iraqi detainees and others. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry says he's the target of fear and smear by the Bush administration in the New York City campaign stop yesterday. Kerry trekked to the big city just days before the Republicans invade for their national convention next week. Thousands are reportedly getting ready to protest in the city on the eve of the convention. Demonstrators say they will make their voices heard in spite of restrictions imposed by city government. And the search for clues continues into the crash of yesterday's two Russian airliners. 89 people are known dead. Officials suspect terrorism, but have failed to come up with empirical evidence pointing to such activity. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Canada, Czech Republic, Finland, Germany, Slovakia, Sweden, Russia, and the USA. The greatest hockey nations in the world are facing off for the 2004 World Cup of Hockey. Be a part of the passion and rivalry for bragging rights to number one and world hockey champion. Tune in August 31st at 7 p.m. Eastern when Team USA takes on Team Canada on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Carol's husband co-signed for a debt that is now in bankruptcy. Why he'll have to pay for his ex's vacuum, coming up after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Will Carol have to pay for a vacuum that's not hers?
My husband's ex-wife filed for bankruptcy. They had a bill that was listed in both their names, with hers being first. She said she has included that in the bankruptcy, but he will have to pay it now. It was for a vacuum cleaner that she bought and has in her possession. Is this true? If he signed for it, he bought it, and she has it in her possession. So you, Carol, are about to pay for the ex's vacuum cleaner. Because when you sign for a debt with someone else, and that person is no longer liable for it legally, which is what bankruptcy does, you're the only one left liable. That would be your husband. That's just how it works. So, yeah, I'm afraid the ex is right. at least she could do is give you the vacuum. Not likely to happen, though.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
morning. It's morning sedition. How are you? Yeah, it's 33 past the hour if you're hurrying off to work and you're, you know, just combing your hair. 33 past the hour. If you have to leave at 35 past the hour, you might want to think about it now. Now, hurry up. You look fine. You look fine. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Okay, good. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
This is Morning Sedition, as I've said. And since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 57. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. We've been following your Olympic soccer team in your quest for gold. So where is... So where is it, Cinderella? Where's the gold? Your team lost to Paraguay, and now you're out of the running, and you're playing for the bronze. Paraguay? What the f*** is that? It's time for a little attitude adjustment. No, no, I will not take any of your crying. Listen to me. If you're going to hang around with us, and you are, you need to raise your expectations. If you thought we were going to get all misty-eyed over you going for the bronze medal, think again. For Americans, there are two categories, gold and loser. No, no crying. In the States, when our rappers want to get their bling on, they don't buy a huge bronze crucifix. They sell a million units, they don't get a bronze record. Gold, baby. We're all about going for the gold or the oil or whatever precious resources you may have. And that kind of attitude is why we invaded you and not the other way around. So if you win that weak-ass bronze medal, you hide it someplace. If we come to your house, we don't want to see it. Don't hang it up. Don't show it to your friends. Remember the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. You got 4 years. Now get to work, losers. Until then, good luck and God bless. This is day 57 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Unbelievable.
Well, by the way, you're not real far off with that whole thing about, you know, either you win the gold or you're a loser.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what America's all about. Me, I like to just not play.
I understand.
So here we go. We're going to try to flesh out the Yucca Mountain nuclear issue and about the lies that the Bush campaign is once again trying to put out there about Kerry. And hopefully, here's what the deal is. The Department of Energy wants to bury 70,000 tons of nuclear waste underneath Yucca Mountain in Nevada. The dumping site is located 90 miles away from the country's fastest growing city, Las Vegas. On the phone from Washington, D.C. is Congresswoman Shelley Berkley from the 1st District of Nevada. Her district includes Las Vegas. She helped write the anti-Yucca Mountain project part of the Democratic platform. Good morning, Representative Berkley. How are you?
Good morning, Mark and Mark. I'm fine, thanks.
Good morning.
So now, let's start at the beginning. Why did the Department of Energy choose Yucca Mountain to store nuclear waste?
Well, originally they chose Yucca Mountain, they said, because it was a natural geologic site. The only problem is we have groundwater issues, seismic activity, and volcanic activity. So they're putting 77,000 tons, or they're trying to put 77,000 tons of the most toxic nuclear material known to mankind in a hole in the Nevada desert where there's groundwater, seismic activity, and volcanic activity. Very smart, don't you think?
Yeah, it sounds stupid, obviously, is what you're saying. You know, and what I want to know, Congresswoman, is that when John Kerry decided to agree to the research around, you know, figuring out where to put this stuff, why was it attractive initially? Wasn't there a nuclear test site there?
We are the home of the Nevada test site where they did all of the above ground and underground tests for atomic weapons back in the 50s and the 60s. But let me tell you about that little issue where they're saying, you know, where our federal government and the Bush administration is saying this is perfectly safe. You go and talk to any Nevada test site worker in the 50s and the 60s, if you can find any still alive,
right.
They're all dying of cancer because
right.
The same agency that's trying to give us Yucca Mountain and telling us it's perfectly safe is the same agency that would tell their workers all you have to do is go home, take a shower, wash your clothes, you're going to be fine.
Right.
Well, the reality is they're not fine. They're dying, and they've totally destroyed hundreds and hundreds of acres of the Nevada desert, which isn't, you know, people look at a desert and they don't see anything. The reality is there's a very sensitive ecosystem that's totally demolished, and now now, on top of the Nevada test site, the feds, this administration, wants to give us Yucca Mountain, too.
I get it. I get it. Have you heard the ad? Because we have it. You want to hear it? Let's play it for you.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
All right. Let's hear it, Tim.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Listening to John Kerry, you'd think he'd been against Yucca Mountain his entire career. But Kerry voted to establish the nuclear repository at Yucca Mountain. Kerry voted 7 times to make it easier to dump waste at Yucca and said a repository for nuclear waste could be established there and be made functional by 2015. He even tried to speed shipment of nuclear waste from Massachusetts to Yucca. There's what Kerry says, and then there's what Kerry does.
I want to talk to you about that because, there's part of me that I want the truth about this, and I have a feeling that you know the truth about this. So can we talk about it when we come back from our break?
Absolutely. Thanks, because right. That is not truth.
Okay, great. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog, too.
Czech Republic, Finland, Germany, Slovakia, Sweden, Russia, and the USA. The greatest hockey nations in the world are facing off for the 2004 World Cup of Hockey. Be a part of the passion and rivalry for bragging rights to number one and world hockey champion. Tune in August 31st at 7 p.m. Eastern when Team USA takes on Team Canada on Sirius Sports Action 123.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst.
I was running a career center, and what we were teaching was, if you figure out who you are, what your core skills, your core interest areas, and your core value systems are, you can then match them up with jobs, careers, and organizations, and in fact, the life you live. So the climb kind of crystallized these issues, and from that point on, I've been wandering around the world, giving speeches and writing books to say to people, if you're not feeling good in your job, if you don't feel good about the life you're leading, about a relationship you've got, start with yourself. Figure out who you are. What's at the very core of you? Core skills and core interest areas and core value systems. And if they don't match up with the things that are causing you discontent, you've got to stop the world for a little while and go and look and see where there is a good match for it.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I'm calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay. Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Let's be blunt about marijuana. Did you know, as many kids do, that blunt is street slang for a hollowed-out cigar filled with marijuana? Sometimes blunts contain marijuana mixed with cocaine, crack, PCP, methamphetamine, even embalming fluid. How's that for a reality check? Learn to have a blunt talk with your kids about drugs. Call 1-800-729-6686 for a free copy of Keeping America's Youth Drug Free.
Mark Maron here. Mark Riley over there. Steve Earle's going to be here in about 45 minutes. But right now, more importantly, Congresswoman Shelley Berkley from the 1st District of Nevada, which includes Las Vegas and Yucca Mountain, we are talking about this advertisement that the Bush administration has put out. Let's talk honestly about Kerry's record on this, can you?
Hi. am I back?
Yes, you're back.
Thank you. First of all, that, you know, these guys are unbelievable. It's like when Karl Rove says, by the time he gets done with John Kerry, we're not going to know what side of the Vietnam War he fought on.
Yes.
I mean, they will do anything or say anything to win this election.
Exactly.
And this Yucca Mountain spot is the perfect example.
What is Kerry's record on this?
Kerry's record is at very, very good for Nevada. There were some procedural votes early on, and we're talking about 1987 when Congress passed the Screw Nevada bill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were four votes that would have stripped that 87 piece of legislation from any language about Yucca Mountain. Kerry voted with the state of Nevada all four times. In final passage, because of everything else in the bill that was probably good for his state, he voted for it. But let's talk about reality, and let's talk about now. In February of 2002, and that's just a few months after 9/11, Bush approved Yucca Mountain, said it was safe science. There were 293 unresolved scientific and technical issues, and he went ahead and said it was safe. There was a no canister currently exists. Nothing exists that can store the waste safely, and Bush goes ahead and says, this is sound science, I'm going to go ahead and approve it.
But that's crazy, and within the act itself, within the Nuclear Waste Policy Act, it says that if it is, you know, if it's found unsuitable, that studies should be stopped immediately.
Absolutely,
right.
And this president is hell-bent on giving his friends in the nuclear industry what they want, and that's a method of getting rid of the nuclear waste that's stored on site, giving it to Nevada, which, by the way, we don't produce any energy with nuclear. And what's the reason for this? In order that they can keep producing nuclear energy and keep making money. So that's what this is all about, the bottom line. John Kerry voted no when it counted for us. President Bush authorized Yucca Mountain. Kerry came to Las Vegas on three separate occasions, and then when he met with the press, he said, not on my watch. I will stop Yucca Mountain if I'm elected president. George Bush comes to Nevada and says, with me, you know what you get. Well, what you get with George Bush is you get nuclear waste stuffed at Yucca Mountain.
Yeah. Our guest is Congresswoman Shelley Berkley. Congresswoman, I guess let me ask you a larger question. Is there, in your judgment, any safe way to dispose of nuclear waste? Because that's been the center of a lot of controversy, you know, since, in fact, the first bomb.
Well, the reality is there is not at this time any safe and effective way of storing nuclear waste. So why is this nation relying more on nuclear energy when it has a byproduct, nuclear waste, the most deadly substance known to mankind, and continue to produce it? What we are suggesting and what John Kerry suggested when he came to Las Vegas is, why don't we store it on site where it currently exists instead of risking sending it through 43 states. Can you imagine how many hundreds of shipments, thousands of shipments it's going to take to move 77,000 tons of toxic nuclear waste across the United States of America to be buried in Nevada? What about the potential of accidents? What about the potential of a terrorist attack?
Exactly.
We know perfectly well there are terrorists throughout the world that are dying to get, and literally dying, to acquire nuclear material.
Yeah, and there you got a whole train. Yeah.
They're going to be an easy target for these terrorists. There is nothing that we're working on now that would protect these shipments from a possibility of a terrorist attack.
Right.
Congresswoman Berkley, do residents of Nevada, are they as clear as you are about John Kerry's position on this issue? And will this add damage the the truth of what you said?
About 80% of the people in the state of Nevada are opposed to Yucca Mountain. I'm telling you, literally thousands of citizens of Nevada, if they try to truck or bring this stuff in by rail, will be standing on the railroad tracks to stop it, and including myself. If those trains try to come to Yucca Mountain and dump that nuclear waste in my state, I'm going to be the first one on those railroad tracks to stop it. Now, the people that I represent feel very strongly as well. But if you ask me if this ad is designed to muddy the waters, yes, it is. And it has some effect.
It does have an effect.
I believe it does, because people start second-guessing, the alternative and saying, well, you know, we don't know about Kerry. Kerry could not be more sound in his opinion about Yucca Mountain. He has stood with the people of Nevada, and he will stop this process if he's elected president. The differences between the two candidates could not be more clear. With President Bush, we're going to get nuclear waste. With John Kerry, we're not.
So what are you doing to counter the effect of these ads? Do you have some ads on the horizon or what?
Well, from what I understand, and I'm here in Washington, but MoveOn.org just started a commercial to countermand this one. And I also understand, and I don't know for sure because I haven't seen it, but there's rumors abounding that the DNC is probably going to put something up as well. But I don't know that.
Well, that's tremendous. Thank you, Congresswoman Shelley Berkley. I appreciate you being here, and hopefully, John Kerry will be president next time we talk.
I'm looking forward to celebrating that inauguration.
Terrific. All right. Take care. Have a good
day. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
We see a repetitive pattern here, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
We see the Republican Party throwing, essentially, if you were looking at this as a boxing match, throwing the jabs.
Yeah. Throw,
they're the ones that are constantly throwing something out in people's faces and forcing the Democrats to counterpunch.
But you know what I'm starting to think the biggest problem was, Mark, you know, and I'm guilty of this too, is that, you know, if American people took the time, even an hour a day, to educate themselves, to say, look, I'm concerned about an issue, why don't I just go to my computer, you know, go to Google, go to whatever, go, you know, do just punch in so you get a couple of alternative viewpoints on something, investigate it for an hour a day, the issues that are important to your community, to your state, to your district, and find out some truth that you can base your opinion on, as opposed to listen to the TV. John Kerry is bad. You know, I mean, why don't they just, you know, I mean, come on, come on.
You have any question about what John Kerry's made up? Just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry? He bad.
John Kerry bad. I don't like him. John Kerry bad. John Kerry loses.
Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop. Fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
But that ad right there is the secret id of most ads. You know, certainly negative advertising. And it doesn't take much to do a little bit of research so you have an opinion that is your own instead of being some sort of ditto head, some sort of, you know, robot. I mean, it's amazing, you know, most conservatives you talk to have no opinions of their own, a lot of them. A lot of the people that are just sort of like the regular, you know, walking dead that are, you know, just sort of spitting out Rush Limbaugh talking points. I mean, they don't have
but that's what that's the game. Get the conservative movement has and set out to create people who would spit these talking points.
This is not
happening by accident.
But those,
these people have crafted this message, crafted this methodology over two decades.
I know. It's like the guy we talked to yesterday,
Tom Hartman.
You know, Tom Hartman, who, you know, it's basically psychological operations. It's psyops. It's what they've done. But, you know, you have to take your own inventory as an individual and really ask yourself, you know, who am I? Are these opinions mine? What actual thinking am I doing? Because it's your responsibility as a person. And if you're, you know, if you are some sort of fanatical right extremist and you're listening to this because you hate me, maybe you should take an inventory and ask how many of your opinions are your own. And we've got an opinion here from an emailer about the Yucca Mountain that I will read when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Have you written a book? Become a published author with Dorrance Publishing Company, the nation's oldest subsidy book publisher. For a free 32-page guidebook on how to have your manuscript published by a reliable subsidy publisher, phone 1-800-695-9599. Dorrance's free informative guidebook describes the subsidy publishing process and how Dorrance can publish your book in both a traditional format and as an ebook available for download via the internet. Becoming a published author can be a unique, personally rewarding experience. Receive your free author's guide today by calling 1-800-695-9599. It contains a detailed and straightforward explanation of how Dorrance works with authors who have written manuscripts of fiction, nonfiction, poetry, and children's stories. Call 1-800-695-9599 to receive your free author's guide. It's a free call, so dial 1-800, then 695-9599.
9599.
Serious. Are your employees falling asleep on the job?
Productivity down.
Customers complaining.
You stink.
Well, before you fire everyone and go out of business, try switching the music in your workplace to Sirius. Come on, you're already in love with the music in your car and home. Bring your Sirius business plan to work. At $24.95 a month, it's cheaper than Muzak and a lot more fun. Log on to Sirius.com and click through business subscriptions or give us a call at 888-539-SIRIUS.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Drop off the kids, run by the bank, pick up dinner, save the air. It's amazing what a mom can accomplish in an afternoon. It's called trip chaining, or combining errands into one trip. It saves time and reduces traffic congestion and pollution, making our towns a better place to live. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
This email after our bit. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Present.
Edition. It's 54 past the hour. Just a quick response to a couple blogs. Adam, shut up. It's coming. Where's the other one? Oh, yeah. Also, yeah, I'm sorry. If you don't have a computer and you took personal offense to me saying get on your computer and do a Google search, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. Go to the library. Get on a computer. Do a Google search. Or let me rephrase that. Get with the program. I know it's hard to have a computer. Maybe you can't afford a computer, but it's sort of important if you want to be as informed as you can, and it's also hard to sort of regulate that, actually. And right now, every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the three-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Morton Milvington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you, Greg. Dateline, Castiglio Gdolfo, Italy, August 24th. The war against reason escalated this week as Pope John Paul George and Ringo II threw his pointy hat into the ring with pointed President Bush to smite medicine before an enraptured militia of religious leaders and other slack-jawed sadists. This mitered Quasimodo said that those who wish to clone human embryos for medical research will commit an immoral and arrogant act in their attempt to improve on God's creation. Prompting the great theological question, has he seen Courtney Love lately? Come on, would it really hurt to improve on that? But what else can you expect from a man who remains entrenched in a fantasy land? 20,000 tons of marble, over 7 miles of secret church documents, and one hell of a lot of eunuchs. All the ingredients of Vatican City. His Xanadu. Must the world suffer just because this weird, repressed, holy man never took the time to unleash the beast within his pants? No man can say. I, for one, in grand defiance, will issue this declaration to God himself. I never believed in you, I don't believe in you now, and I never will believe in you. Hey, my eyes, I can't see, I can't see! Whoops, false alarm, it was just my do-rag falling in my face. All I'm saying is, if I want to clone an army of little morts to patrol the perimeter of my timeshare, make sure my fun-loving Armenian neighbors keep their sticky mitts off my collection of ceramic gnomes, that's my business.
So butt out, Mr. Popinski. Ixnay on the Oxnay. The struggle continues. Freedom fighters read, write, clone at will. And that's today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Oh, Mort is odd. Odd man. How much time we got? We got like okay, here All right. Let me read this email real quick. Thank you, Mort. This is from a listener, Gary, who lives in about 6 miles from Indian Point Nuclear Plant. The biggest problem with Yucca Mountain is that it is predicated on a lie. The stated objective of Yucca Mountain is to make the country safer by replacing the scattered storage facilities currently in use and create one central repository. As long as all the nuclear plants continue to operate and create more deadly waste, there will always be the same active and dangerous storage facilities across our land. In addition, the transport of the highly radioactive waste is projected to take up to 30 years, with truck and train routes going through common commercial pathways. When we are told constantly the terrorists are right around the corner, do we want these rolling dirty bombs going through our neighborhoods? That's a question. What do we do with the waste is a question.
Yeah, the answer is don't create it.
Okay.
Coming up.
I'll get on that.
Singer-songwriter Steve Earle, the presidential daily briefing, the liberal agenda, and much, much more as Morning Sedition continues here on Air America Radio.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite fresh.
Satellite fresh.
Serious. It's on.
Still closed. Bad breath.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Yet another smoking gun in the controversial Swift boat attack ads on the military record of presidential candidate John Kerry. New York Times reports this morning that the Bush campaign's top outside lawyer has admitted giving legal advice to the Swift boat Veterans for Truth. President and his campaign have long distanced themselves from the Swift boat group, but research in recent weeks have confirmed the connection. The Democratic Party leaders have been on top of it, and now this disclosure this morning that the Bush campaign's top outside lawyer has advised the group. While the attack ads have been largely directed at Democrat John Kerry by those groups that is opposed to his election as president, U.S. Chamber of Commerce will be going after its running mate, John Edwards. The nation's largest business lobbying organization is planning to help pay for advertisements against John Edwards and other trial lawyers for purportedly raising the cost of doing business. Chamber of Commerce says in spite of the attack ads on Edwards, it will not be endorsing President George W. Bush. Yucca Mountain in Nevada has been a political football for many over the years because of the issue of nuclear waste disposal. President Bush's re-election campaign is on it this election year with a questionable Nevada-specific television ad questioning Democrat John Kerry's record on Yucca Mountain. Congresswoman Shelley Berkeley says Kerry's record on Yucca Mountain is exemplary for those concerned about the environment.
They are trying to put 77,000 tons of the most toxic nuclear material known to mankind in a hole in the Nevada desert where there's groundwater, seismic activity, and volcanic activity. Very smart, don't you think?
Representative Berkeley accusing President Bush of twisting Kerry's record on the issue. Congresswoman Berkeley of Nevada, as she appeared on Morning's Edition on Air America this morning with Mark Maron and Mark Riley. Italian journalist Enzo Baldoni, who has been missing in Iraq since last week, has been kidnapped by militants, according to a video broadcast yesterday on the Arab Al Jazeera television network. The Italian foreign ministry reported Baldoni missing Friday and said he was believed to be in Najaf, the holy city south of Baghdad that has been the site of heavy fighting between militants and U.S. forces for nearly 3 weeks now. Baldoni is a freelance journalist who went to Iraq for the news magazine Diario. Pensacola section of Florida is the scene of a whodunit. Hundreds of yard signs supporting Democratic presidential candidate Kerry have been stolen or vandalized in the heavily Republican region, better known to many as Bush Country. The theft has forced some Kerry supporters to hang signs from trees. Authorities in the area say some 350 signs have been stolen. Police say they will step up patrols in the panhandle where a majority of the thefts occurred. Leader of the Kerry supporters in that area says that they have the money to replace every sign wherever we find one missing. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman.
On the first day, he said, "Let there be light." And there was. And it was good.
Damn.
On the second came the separation of the waters, and land, and birds, and sea creatures, and then man. And it was good. And then, on the seventh day, he created 16 channels of rock.
Rock.
And it was awesome! Summer rock!
On Sirius. Bingo.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Jeff wants to know if interest-only loans are a good way to go. I'll answer the most asked question of the last 60 days next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Jeff wants my opinion on interest-only loans. Dave, I'd like your views on interest-only mortgages. Let's see, if we pay only the interest, what does that mean? We don't pay any principal. What does that mean? We stay in debt forever. How smart is this?
Oh, well, if you pay extra, it will go down faster.
No, it won't. A standard conventional Fannie Mae 15-year mortgage? If you pay extra on it, it goes down at exactly the same speed as an interest-only mortgage. You get no extra benefit for prepaying principal on an interest-only or a traditional fully amortizing mortgage. The math is done exactly the same. And if you pay extra, you slide down that amortization schedule to where more is going to principal the next time because the interest is less because the balance is less. It is calculated exactly the same in a fully amortizing mortgage as a simple interest mortgage. Do not buy this interest-only lie that's going around everywhere.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Here we go. Good morning, philosopher kings and queens, geniuses, working class heroes, hipsters, haters, and the needy. What's happening? How are you, Mark Riley? You
feeling all right? Needy.
Emotionally needy, not the other kind.
No, I'm not emotionally needy. I need...
You need something. You need
no,
a bump.
No, actually...
Riley needs a bump.
I'm rounding into form.
Yeah, we've been sugared out. We should.
Yeah.
Riley jumped the gun on the buzz. He, you know, they... But you know what? You know Marty Pantoirs and pulls the candy out of the drawer, 4:30 in the morning. No! No M&M's at 4:30 in the morning for Mark Riley, because that means by 5:30, Mark Riley would be like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, but you know what?
We came back around, thank God.
We
for
came
more
back
sugar,
around.
For
yes.
Grape soda, bagels with jelly. This is crazy. My brain's about to explode. You know?
But I have visions, though. I had a vision just now.
A sugar vision.
He's
way out there, man. He's all screwed up on Hershey's Kisses and M&M's. He's having visions.
I want to do an entire week's worth of radio on this show without ever mentioning George W. Bush or the Republican Party.
That's crazy, man. That's the sugar talking.
I know.
That's great. Well, it's going to happen when we win.
I know.
We have to
That's what I'm looking
it.
Forward to, the week of November 7th.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
That's right.
It's the most truthful thing that man has said in 4 years.
It's genius. It's beautiful. I can't get enough of it. And you know what? Just for my friends.
If you have any questions about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry? He bad.
John Kerry bad. I don't like him. John Kerry bad. John Kerry loses.
Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop. Fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
You know, I'm wondering about these protests that are going to happen next week. Yeah, by the way, we are going to be at the Republican National Convention all next week because we didn't get to go to the Democratic one because we were here, as you remember, alone, you know, in the bunker, taking care, holding down the home fort, as they say. Is that what they say? Something the home fort. Something, I don't know. Yeah,
keeping the home fires burning.
Yeah, I always screw up those. What are they called? Anecdotes or parables or adages? I screw them all
haiku,
up. You know,
who knows?
Yeah, why don't we, you know, wait till the other shoe, I don't know, gets stolen by the... Hey, look, what I'm saying is, I'm not going to go to the protest, I don't think, because we got to get up early. We're probably on Sunday.
Yeah.
We probably got to go to sleep earlier. Because we got to, I don't know what kind of traffic we're going to be fighting. I don't know what, you know what I mean?
I don't know how we're even going to get into the garden, but we'll do it.
Of course, we're supposed to. They got chairs for us with our names on them at the garden, at the convention.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know, we're going to try and sort of, you know, troll around and grab unsuspecting Republicans and sit them down and yell at them.
Let me tell you something about Republicans. I learned this having covered a few Republican conventions. They are the biggest media hounds in the universe.
Well, we got to be careful not to, like, because our listeners and me and myself and you, not so much because you'll immediately start blasting at them. If we're not careful, they'll start, you know, slipping in their little talking points. So, I mean, we've got to figure out a way to, you know, cleverly make them look stupid, you know, without them stealing our air.
I want Alan Keyes, man. I want to go straight to the bottom, or straight to the top.
I want Santorum, man. I want to make that guy cry or something.
I don't think he'll be up as early as we are.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to be there pretty early.
He'll be crashing from all the swinging parties he'll be attending during the convention.
I'm really curious to see how the protest is going to unfold, whether the anarchists are going to really start being violent, whether or not it's going to be have some decorum to it. I had a guy who I used to know from years ago, the cat that I knew up in New England, who used to book comedy. He's been an activist for years. And he said that he feels that most of the responsible activists are going to be guys and gals in their 50s.
Ah, like, you know, okay.
Cats have been through it before. They know the score. They're there to do it the right way.
They know when to duck.
And they got these, you know, these kids today. They're crazy with their dreadlocks and their homemade shoes, scaling up buildings, blowing up garbage cans and stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, this is going to be a really interesting convention because the biggest single protest march and rally, which was done by United for Peace and Justice, is in legal limbo right now.
Right.
They have actually gone out and taken a case to court. They took it late, which was, I think, a mistake on their part. They took it to court because they wanted to have a big rally in Central Park for 250,000 people.
Did they offer
big park
Queens
and
once?
They did, and they rejected that out of hand.
Of course. I mean, what the hell is the point of it if you're going to be across the river? It's, like, ridiculous, and Bloomberg is starting to say things like, hey, you know, we'll give you free theater tickets if you behave yourself and just not do this.
Not free,
like,
discount.
Sorry, discount theater tickets. Discount theater tickets. You can go see what's playing.
Tony and Tina's Wedding?
Tony, yeah, well, and you know.
Lion King?
You know what's weird, though? I'll tell you something about hippies. Is, you know, not necessarily hippies. I don't mean to say that in a negative way, because I, you know, when I was a kid, I used to be a hippie, man. I always wanted to be a hippie. I just missed it, too, because of
time. I know, your young age.
But I did live with deadheads during college, and
okay.
I've been to a couple shows. I got to admit, you know, I saw them in '84 at the Worcester Centrum, and it was great, you know. And I'm not ashamed of that.
I saw Hendrix, man.
All right, so okay, so you said we're at Fillmore.
Yeah,
yeah. I've talked to people that've seen those
Band
shows.
Band of Gypsies,
that
man.
That was amazing, and that record in and of itself, I can listen to that record over and over and over again. You know what the mark of a genius is? Hey, you know the one guy who out there in the little blog world is just sitting there. All he's been doing is sitting there waiting for Steve Earle for 3 hours, just seething, going, "Come on, you're making me listen to stuff that means something. Shut up. Where's Steve Earle, man? We want to hear play some guitar." Yeah. Well, Adam, you're gonna have to wait a little longer. So, here's what I'm saying.
Right, you're not doing anything anyway.
he's typing in zzz. Like he's actually like typing in that he's sleeping. You know, I don't like this guy, Adam. I don't like him. I don't know him. I see him on the blog. I don't like him.
I think he calls. If that's the same Adam that I think it is, I think he calls every night. He's not a bad guy.
I don't think it's the same guy.
You don't think?
No,
so?
I think.
You mean there's more than one Adam in America?
Yeah, I think so. No, I got no problem with Adam, except shut up.
Yeah.
I said it again.
There you go.
Right, here we go. Hippies, here's the weird thing. I'm in Mexico. I'm in Oaxaca City.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And wherever there are, you know, people playing guitars on the street, it doesn't matter what country you are in the world, there's always going to be the one lost white guy, you know, with like long hair and squatter zits.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But the thing that was hilarious about this kid is he was playing, there was a guy, a little sort of indigenous person playing like cool kind of Mexican guitar sounding thing. And then there was this white dude with long hair, the squatter zits, the weird, you know, clothing that, you know, has been slept in too long to where it's both, everything's the same color, kind of grimy green.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude is playing what? A clarinet!
Oh,
a clarinet! Like, it's not a guitar, it's not a hippie drum. This cat is sitting there doing clarinet scales! I couldn't believe it! And they're walking around playing for people at restaurants, and the little Indian guy is doing that kind of flamenco-y, kind of grooving, like Gypsy Kings thing.
Yeah.
And this dude's like, woo, 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 on his clarinet, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna cry. It was so sad and so pathetic and so horrible that I didn't know what to do.
Did you give him any money?
Of course I did, so he'd go away. Yeah, I felt that, and it was making me sad, you know. He's like, you know, his sad squatter zits are starting to ooze, and he's blowing out the clarinet, and it was like, oh my god, you're sucking me into your boundaryless soul vacuum.
But you know what? You were lucky. Because you were in Mexico and there was only one of those guys. If you've ever been to Jamaica, okay, if you've ever been to any music festival in Jamaica, there are like 5,000 white guys dressed like that, all who decided to sleep just outside the gates of whatever stadium they're having the event in. So they got like a sleeping bag city full of people. They all wake up about 7 o'clock in the morning, and they all are dancing to this reggae music that is totally in each one of their heads.
Doesn't even exist. They don't need it in reality.
No, they don't need it in reality. They just sort of bob along.
I would like to say, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about Kerry's reaction and his ownership. Oh, really? That's it? We go right to him? Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I'm sorry. We burned
up. Well, why don't we talk to Steve Earle about John Kerry?
I want you all to know that, you know, I'm a big fan of Steve Earle. I went through a heavy Steve Earle half a year. There's about 6 months. You know when you first hear a guy's music and you're like, oh, my God, this is all I'm going to listen to now for as long as I live. And that goes on for as long as it does. Well, I went through that with Steve Earle, and I am as excited as Adam to meet him and have him in the studio to play some songs and tell us about some of the stuff he's working on and tell us some about his new show here on Air America and also about the music of political change. And that's going to happen in just a few minutes here on Air America Radio.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss The Revolution. Order Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records today at www.airamericaradio.com. The Revolution Starts Now is also available at all Borders books and music stores.
The Revolution Starts Now.
Welcome to Mr. Speaker Hall with your movie listing for the week of August 38th. You know what? There isn't a film worth seeing. Here's an idea. How about full coverage of the Republican National Convention on your Sirius radio? Press 140. Not here.
Okay.
141 and 142 are conservative views with Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Tony Snow. For coverage from the left side, press 143, 144, and 149 to hear Young Turks Live, Air America, and Sirius LQ. The RNC. Rated G. Opens Monday, August 30th. Thanks for calling Mr. Speaker Hall.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. Explain how your trek up Mount Everest changed your views about what's important in life and how to focus on getting what you really want.
We watched two guys die, and as we tried to understand why they had died, it became apparent in the first case that one of them had died because he hadn't figured out that his skills were no match for a mountain as big as Everest. He either didn't figure out what his skills were, or he didn't take the time to match them with the climb. And that kind of stuck in our heads as a little bit as a learning we should understand. Second guy died because his values didn't match the needs of Mount Everest. He went on alone. And you can't climb Everest alone. I mean, you get winds of 150 miles an hour. You get temperatures of, you know, minus 60 below. It's impossible to do alone. He went on independently, and he eventually died. So his values didn't match up with the needs of Everest.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
Yes, we're back. It's Mark Maron, Mark Riley, Morning Sedition.
Yo.
Right now, the second reading of Ramon's Dispatch from Crawford, Texas. We got the presidential palm pilot. Here's the president's schedule for today. Here we go, 9 o'clock a.m. Wake up in Crawford. It's me day. Whose day? George's day. Got to get in a spa day before the convention. Got to look beautiful. 10 a.m., aromatherapy. I love the smell of W in the morning. Smells like victory. 11 a.m. facial. Got to do something about those worry lines. I got it. Stop worrying. 1 p.m. Have mud bath. Check with Arnold to see if this makes me a girly man. 2 p.m. Organized collection of unearned military decorations. Hey, I won the Iron Cross. 4 p.m. Make plans for second term. Add 5 more weeks of vacation per year. Appoint series of guest presidents. Who says I don't have a vision? 6 p.m. Close height disadvantage with Kerry by entering Republican convention on horseback and then staying there for 4 days. 11 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thoughts. Headline, quote, New Yorkers to erect giant statue of Bush on horseback at Ground Zero. End quote. There we go. Right now, my pleasure. Big fan of this man. Musician, activist. His latest album is called The Revolution Starts Now on Artemis Records. His new Air America radio show, The Revolution Starts Now, airs from 10 to 11 on Sunday nights. A hardcore troubadour, Steve Earle, is with us. Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Good
I'm
morning.
I'm pretty good. You're up. You look great.
Yeah, I look almost lifelike. It's kind of amazing.
So what's going on with you? How's everything going with the show? What's the show about? What are you doing up there?
And this show's a music show. I mean, I'm basically, I have people bring in their records, which is kind of fun. I mean, the first, we had Bobby Muller, who runs the Vietnam Veterans Foundation. Mm-hmm. I've worked with him on the landline campaign for several years, so I kind of tapped him first. And his listener, he was going, man, I go back a long way. You don't want me to bring in, you know, just anything. I said, just bring me your top five from your tour of duty in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty cool. It was like, It was Woodstock, Fortunate Son, the Hendrix version of the Star Spangled Banner, and it was a good playlist. And I've got John Sayles this week.
Oh, that's great,
man! And I'm taping my shows because I've got to tape as many as possible before the tour starts because the record's out. And so you know, whenever I get a chance, the Sayles had a very interesting playlist.
Oh yeah. What was on his?
Oh, it was everything from it was Memphis Slim and I mean it was really 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 all of it.
What are your favorite protest songs?
Oh God, my favorite protest song I think is With God on Our Side, Bob Dylan. And there's an incredible version of that out right now. Buddy Miller, who's the best country singer in the world, and the fact that he's not on country radio is proof positive that country music is dead.
Well, what about that, man? Because I picked up on your records with I Feel All Right, Really.
Right. You know,
and then I had to go back from there and then had to go forward from there. But that record I played over and over and over again because I was so impressed with it. I thought it was a really honest record, and I read about what you'd been through, which I was impressed with because, you know, I consider myself somewhat of an old drug warrior. But when I read about you, I was like, holy Christ.
You fought the war on drugs?
No way, man. I aspired to it, you know, but you've survived a tremendous amount. And I just love that record. Now, what has been your experience with Nashville? Because it seems to me that what you were doing ahead of the game, they sort of appropriated, just ripped off and not giving you the credit.
Well, I mean, believe me, there's people that I've always been somebody that people would sort of watch what I did, and then if I, you know, stepped on a landmine, they went, oh, we know not to do that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that like to get their pictures taken with me and like to be associated with me, and there's other people that don't. And,
yeah.
You know, so it's like...
It's sort of like P. Diddy.
Yeah, I've been there a long time. I've watched friends of mine for... I've been there 30 years this year, which is hard for me to imagine. But, I mean, I've watched friends of mine move there from, you know, in the music business from New York and L.A. when their kids got to be a certain age under the mistaken impression that it was going to be easier to protect their kids from Baptists than it is gangs. And it's not necessarily true. It's a trade-off.
But, like, when you started recording that some of that stuff, they accused of being too rock?
Yeah, I mean, Guitar Town was weird, my first record. I mean, it was a number one country album. We refer to that, one guy, Tony Brown, signed me, Lyle Lovett, and Nancy Griffith in 1 year. And we refer to that as the great credibility scare of the mid-1980s in Nashville. It was like close. It almost caught on.
Here they come, the real deal. A new wave of them.
It's a strange place. I mean, but it's, you know, I haven't had very much to do with mainstream country music in a long time.
I'm played
on, you know, what they call adult alternative stations, which nowadays there are less and less of. I'm played on public radio more than I am anyplace else.
The last time I saw you, I guess it was probably, because I was still doing drugs, so it must be like six or 7 years ago when you played out in the park. I think it was like 2.5 hours in Central Park outside.
Oh, with the Bluegrass Band.
No, it was the rock band.
Okay, yeah, I've done that a couple times. Yeah, we...
Who's that tall dude that plays guitar for you?
Well, let's see.
Looked like a young guy. It was five or six years ago.
Yeah, that was probably David Steele.
Yeah.
The man sort of solidified into, you know, I've had the same bass player since 1988, Kelly Looney. He's the only guy in my band that's from Nashville, but he lives in Paris. He married a French girl. Well, he just, you know, I'm the only one living there now. My drummer's in Cleveland now. My guitar player lives here, and Eric Campbell. He was in the Black Hearts, and he was in the Del Lords, and I've known him for years. And then, you know, David Steele left the band kind of suddenly in the middle of a tour. He made the record and then bailed out before the tour. And I called Roscoe to get the name of this other guitar player.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, and he gave me the guy's number, and then he called me back 2 minutes later and says, wait a minute, I want the gig. And it was pretty obvious, you know, thing for us to do. I don't know why we'd never done it before. Because the very first time I played New York, I remember walking off stage at the Bottom Line, and there was a sort of receiving line of guys that wanted to meet me, and it was like all of the Del Lords. Roscoe was there, and Dee Dee Ramone, and who else was there? Rick Derringer of all people. And it was a trip. It was like a big line of guitar players.
That's wild, man. So now, as far as the political stuff, now you just really started doing this kind of music. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I think I grew up playing in coffee houses because I was too young to play places that served liquor, and the Vietnam War was going on, and so their politics have never been... Copperhead Road's actually a pretty political song, you know. I find my music more political lately because, you know, I write about what's going on around me, and I think this is a pretty politically charged atmosphere, and I don't happen to have a girlfriend right now. So it's one of those deals. I write about what's going on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I got to wonder, in this environment, how difficult it is to escape the corporatized version of the business.
Yeah, well, I'm really lucky I record for Danny Goldberg. And you know, Artemis is an experiment that you know, it teeters on the brink sometimes. But you know, Artemis isn't funded the way that it's not a corporation. There's no public stock offering. And that was intentional because, Danny just decided that he wanted to try to do that because it's a public stock offering is a really bad way to fund art simply because of you have that 3 months with the clock ticking and you have to answer to stockholders every 3 months.
Yeah, yeah. So that gets to be
you can't develop talent that way.
Now, does he go through, does he have an independent distribution situation? Or does
we
he
change
have to go
distribution several times. Right now we're actually going through another independent distribution system, but it is an independent.
That's good. You yeah. George Jones fan?
Yeah, I am. All my life. Yeah. He's one of the greatest country singers that ever lived. I'm nowadays you go to his shows and he kind of seems to be selling dog food all the time, but he's still George Jones.
Oh yeah, what you mean literally or just
literally? He has his own brand of dog food and he's pimping it, man. It's like, and my dog hates it. I tried it, but my dog really.
What's it called?
I don't remember, but it's called George Jones something dog food.
Oh,
it does have another name, but I can't remember what it is.
Well,
sorry, George.
I wonder if he's listening. I'd be surprised. We'll be back with Steve Earle. He's going to play some songs, and we got some other stuff. You're going to be able to talk to Steve Earle.
On the telephones.
It's all going to happen right here on Air America, so stay with us. Very exciting.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Yet another sign that the Bush-Cheney campaign has had his hands all over the series of anti-Kerry Swift boat ads. Published report this morning reveals that the campaign's top outside lawyer advised the Swift boat veterans for truth. Vice President Dick Cheney yesterday broke ranks in the Bush administration and said that freedom means freedom for everyone to enter into any kind of relationship they want to. Cheney made the statement in a campaign stop in Iowa, during which he referenced one of his daughters who happens to be gay. President is against gay marriages. Cheney thinks states should decide whether what constitutes a marriage. Still no word on what led to the crash of two Russian airliners yesterday within minutes of each other. Authorities are suspecting terrorism, but there's been no evidence pointing to that. And New York City authorities are gearing up for massive protests this weekend and the rest of next week as the Republicans trek to the Big Apple for the National Convention. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
On the first day, he said, let there be light. And there was. And it was good.
Damn.
On the second came the separation of the waters, and land, and birds, and sea creatures, and then man. And it was good. And then, on the seventh day, he created 16 channels of rock.
Rock.
And it was awesome! Summer rock!
On Sirius. Bingo.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute.
Old Glory makes my heart beat fast, but a glossy red, white, or blue custom cruiser really makes it race. When I come back, I'll paint the picture of what puts that gleam in my eye. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. July 4th may be a celebration of independence, but when it comes to a paint job that really sizzles, I declare that powder coat is king. In this process, a finely ground powder of pigment and resin is sprayed on an electrically charged surface, then sent through a curing oven for fusing, which produces a hard, smooth finish. The result is an all-American combo of shiny style and durable substance. But best of all, the process is green, as coating and cleanup create virtually no airborne emissions. So whether the glaze is red or white, it's always environmentally true blue. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
We're back. It's morning's edition. Mark Maron, Mark Riley, and Steve Earle is here. His new album, The Revolution Starts Now, is on Artemis Records. He's got a new show on our network here, The Revolution Starts Now, which is from 10 to 11 on Sunday night.
Eastern time.
Yes, and he just told me over the break. It's so funny when you talk to cats like you. It's like he just dropped, like, he was at a Graham Parsons tribute in California. You played with Keith Richards.
So I got to sing Wild Horses with Keith Richards.
And I'm just sitting, my brain's blown up, because all of a sudden I'm 15 again. I'm like, whoa. You're hanging out with Keith Richards?
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I have a friend that was the biggest Keith Richards fan in the world, and he was at that show, and he just ran into Keith in a hallway. He was like, he didn't know what to say. He goes, Keith, can I kiss you? And Keith goes, where?
That's great. I didn't know what I would say to him. I've made a fool out of myself in front of plenty of celebrities because of me being a fan. But right now, you want to sing a couple songs?
Yeah.
And you can tell us a little bit about them.
Well, these are the two songs. The reason this record exists is, which I didn't plan on making a record. I just I kind of never do. But I wrote these two songs toward the end of the last tour, and I realized very quickly that I wanted them out before this election, which meant I had to write a bunch more songs. It sort of created a deadline. But this song, especially, more than any reason, is the reason that this record exists. And Jimmy joined the army 'cause he had no place to go. 'Cause there ain't nobody hiring right here since all the jobs went down to Mexico. I reckon that learning self a trade made me see the world. Move to the city someday and marry a black haired girl. Somebody somewhere had another plan. Now he's got a rifle in his hand, rolling in the Baghdad, wondering how it got this far. He's just another poor boy off the fight a rich man's war. Bobby's got an eagle and a flag tattooed on his arm. Red, white, and blue to the bone when landing Kandahar. Left behind a pretty young wife and a baby girl. Stack of overdue bills and he went off to save the world. It's been a year and he's still there, chasing ghosts and thin dry hair.
Meanwhile, back at home, finance come and took his car. He's just another poor boy off to fight a rich man's war. And take our turn and keep telling ourselves we're free. Ali was the second son of the second son. Grew up in Gaza throwing bottles and rocks when the tanks had come. Nothing else to do around here, it's just a game children play. Something about living in fear all your life makes your heart that way. He answered when he got the call, wrapped himself in death and he praised Allah. And a fat man in a new Mercedes drove him to the door. He's just another poor boy off the fight a rich man's war.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we got to get this next one in, too, before we go to break. So which one are we doing now?
This is The Revolution Starts Now.
This is so
sort of self-explanatory.
Right.
Bring, and nobody nobody when we're there. And I learn a song to sing. The revolution starts now. Yeah, the revolution starts now. The revolution starts now in your own backyard, in your own hometown. So what you do is stand it around, just follow your heart. The revolution starts now. Yeah, the revolution starts now in your own backyard, in your own hometown. So what you do is stand it around, just follow your heart. The revolution starts now.
Definitely in the group or so early. That sounded excellent. Steve Earle is here. Call us up if you have questions. 866-303-2270. The album is The Revolution Starts Now on Artemis Records. Thanks, man. This is great. And he's going to be here after this break as well. Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270 or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
To Mr. Speakerphone with your movie listing for the week of August 38. You know what? There isn't a film worth seeing. But here's an idea. How about full coverage of the Republican National Convention on your Sirius Radio? Press 140.
Okay.
141 and 142 are conservative views with Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Tony Snow. For coverage from the left side, press 143, 144, and 149 to hear Young Turks live, Air America, and Sirius LQ. The RNC, rated G, opens Monday, August 30th. Thanks for calling Mr. Speakerphone.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Trent Berhow is a USDA food inspector, but is speaking as a private citizen. Inspectors on the line used to have the power to shut down the line if they suspected there were a problem. You still have that power, but politically, it's not wise to use it. Is that the correct way to put it?
Yeah, that power is still there, but I mean, it's the clout that industry has over the agency. I mean, not only do they have powerful lobbying efforts in Washington from a congressional level, I mean, we have cattlemen that are serving for the USDA now.
And so if you shut down a line and they didn't agree with you at headquarters, would they discipline you?
Definitely the potential is there for that, yes. It's never happened to me, but I know of inspectors who have been disciplined for taking what the industry claimed was, you know, inappropriate control actions.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Steve Earle. There was a time when I believed that getting high enhanced my creativity. After all, I wrote some pretty good songs back then, in between finding drugs and taking drugs and finding means to get more. Then 9 years ago, I got clean. Since then, I've written 150 songs, 400 poems, 11 short stories, a play, a dozen articles and essays, and I'm working on a novel. So much for that theory.
This has been a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hey, it's Mark. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. Steve Earle is here. We're taking your calls, 866-303-2270. Right now it's time to take Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the Infinity is entitled Separation of Church and State Threatens President. Mr. President, welcome to our today's political agendas are being rejected. Plus, Southern Baptist and Roman Catholic churches are refusing to disclose church directories to help the Republican Party mobilize voters. This clearly threatens, well, everything. When the religious right starts believing in separation of church and state, where does that leave you? You won't be able to play the Jesus card if they take it out of the deck. If you can't threaten people with God, they're going to expect you to provide actual leadership. At that stage, God is the only one who's going to be able to help you because, let's face it, you don't have a prayer. We suggest staging a faith healing. Something rising from a wheelchair should put the Hicks right back in line. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. That would be someone rising from a wheelchair. Okay, callers, we're going to have a request for you. With your questions for Steve, be quick and concise so we can get a few of you in. Nick in Pennsylvania, how are you?
What's up, Nick?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Steve. I don't know if he remembers, but in probably 1999 at the Portland Zoo, he had a concert over there. And he made a statement for the steel workers.
Yeah, the Portland Road Warriors. Yeah, I got banned from
that one.
Yeah, I got banned from the Portland Zoo for it. It was, well, what the deal was, Wells Fargo Bank has always had a history of underwriting the costs of the lockout of workers, uh-huh. And those guys were locked out after Portland Steel bought their mill in Colorado. They locked them out, and Wells Fargo was sponsoring the concert series, and these guys had been camped out in a motel. They'd get their job. And I just gave him a shout out from the stage, multi tables down. They tried to stop the show. I was not about Wells Fargo. I said, well, my manager was having to. We can stop the show, but if we do, we're going to tell them why. And these people are, some of them really are rednecks, and it's probably not a good idea. So we did get to finish the show.
Thanks for your call, man. Bob in Tyler, Texas. What's going on?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Doing good. Tyler, Texas.
Yeah, I understand you're from Palestine. Did you go to Lon Mars?
Actually, I didn't. I got through the eighth grade, man. But my grandmother was the wardrobe mistress at the drama department there and was a dorm mother at Lon Morris for years. My dad was born in Jacksonville. That's where all my folks are from.
Are you planning on any political activities this week?
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm in New York. I wanted to get a spot because I think they're going to quit letting pinkos into New York in a couple of days.
Yeah,
so
are,
I wanted to get me a spot.
I brought 5,000 anti-Bush bumper stickers with me. I'm out here roaming around, and I'm going to head over to the entrance to the Air America studios. Maybe you can say hello to me. I'm a Marine with a yellow T-shirt on.
Okay, cool.
All right, thanks.
Awesome.
Bob.
Thank you.
So he's in New York?
In front of this building. I don't know what
Thanks for calling.
Maron's the guy with the orange shirt.
I've got a show on this dumbest network, and I'm not even sure where this building is.
That's, I know.
He's better than me.
All right. Oh, my God. Hey, Adam, what's going on in New Jersey?
Hey, I love you guys. You know that. Come on.
All right. Buddy. All right, look at that. I got to him. He's like, come on, man. Quit beating.
I told you it was the same, Adam.
It is. He's the guy who's been calling.
Yeah, just don't get my address out. I don't want some of your overprotective fans coming over here and propagandizing, okay?
No, we'll send Al Franken's overprotective.
Well, the guy you've been waiting for all morning is here. You got a question?
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Dang good.
Yeah, listen, I just wanted to quickly just thank you for speaking out all these years, and especially this election cycle. It really means a lot to me. And there was a guy in the blog that posted that...
I don't actually. It just came out, and it's incredible. And you can get it from any online source, or and probably most stores in New York.
All right.
Well, thanks for the call, Adam. And okay, we'll bury the hatchet between me and you. Well, you want to hang out one more segment? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
We'll be back with Steve Earle. A few more of your calls at 866-303-2270 here on Air America Radio.
New York City, September 4th, at Town Hall. Mother Jones Magazine presents The State of the Union.
an evening of uncensored political comedy to benefit uncensored, uncompromising independent media. Starring Air America host Janine Garofalo and Liz Winstead. Bipartisan smartass Will Durst. Comic artist Ward Sutton, Eugene Merman, and friends. Tickets through Ticketmaster. More information at MotherJones.com.
If you're in sales and aren't using WebEx, you could be losing money. Big money. With WebEx, the leader in web meetings, you get the interactivity of face-to-face meetings without the hassle and expense of flying or driving. WebEx meetings are so convenient, you'll make more sales presentations, which means bigger commissions for you. Go to WebEx.com for a 14-day free trial to see how powerful a WebEx sales meeting can be. Be with WebEx meetings. Get started with a 14-day free trial. That's WebEx.com.
Canada, Czech Republic, Finland, Germany, Slovakia, Sweden, Russia, and the USA. Hockey nations in the world are facing off for the 2004 World Cup of Hockey. Be a part of the passion and rivalry for bragging rights to number one and world hockey champion. Tune in August 31st at 7 p.m. Eastern when Team USA takes on Team Canada on Sirius Sports Action.
Here, I just thought life was great. Horse, I drove a truck. For me, I thought farm life was the exit. Changed when I was reminded. B. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do I couldn't help my cousin, but I could other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found the need to fill, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Tomorrow, leave home without it. Just once or even twice a week, leave your car parked and get around another way. Try taking mass transit, carpooling, walking, or biking. Not only will you save a lot of money and aggravation, you'll also help to reduce traffic congestion and pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
I'm just going to start. So let's, this thing you just did in California, the Graham Parsons. Who else was there?
Oh, God. It was.
Got Keith Richards.
In your mind, what exactly did Graham Parsons do for music?
He was somebody that understood, you know, where the deep, dark poetry and country music was, that, you know, that came along in the late 60s and early 70s and sort of, you know, married that sensibility to a lyrical sensibility that had more to do with Dylan and
right.
What was going on in songwriting being bumped up to the level of art once and for all.
And, yeah. And he sort of spawned the whole sort of Emmylou Harris, Eagles.
Well, yeah, Emmy came out of his band. Without Graham Parsons, you know, there is no Eagles. There is no, you know, the whole country rock thing that ended up being, that unfortunately morphed into soft rock. I mean, you know,
give something
enough time and the music business will mess it up. But that's where it started. It made a lot of money for a lot of people.
But not necessarily the musicians, right?
Yeah, well, some musicians, and you know, I mean, it's funny. I know people that have made a lot of money. I make an embarrassing amount of money for a borderline Marxist myself. But, you know, it's funny. It's a strange business, and you see people that are incredibly talented that end up with nothing, and I've seen that happen more than once.
There's a tradition of wealthy Marxist intellectual people in this country. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
No, I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just like it's one of those things, man. You know, just and you know, there's it's always important to remember, you know, when you're running around, you know, talking about lofty ideas that privilege does allow you the time to sit around and drink coffee and talk about lofty ideas.
And
getting out of touch with that is can be a really, really bad mistake.
That's it, and that's a nice way to end. Thanks a lot for being with us, Steve Earle. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks. It was really great.
And here comes the, looks like there's facts from the Streisand compound. Here's the liberal agenda to finish off our show today. So write these down here, your marching orders. One, organize junior protest summer camp for inner city preschoolers. Two, call New York Circle Line boat tour. Have them add sex museum, abortion clinics, and Norman Mailer's apartment to their sightseeing tour. Three, call CBS. Urge them to replace Craig Kilborn with Noam Chomsky. Four, during the convention, organize 24-hour Native American drum circle outside the most popular delegate hotels. And five, phrase of the day, just drop it into any conversation. Quote, why haven't we heard from the Vietnamese swift boat veterans? Huh? What about them? End quote. Thank you again, Steve Burrell. It was great having you here. Mark Riley, take us out of this.
Team. All right. It's a fun day today. Coming up on tomorrow's Morning's Edition 2, Count 'em 2, anti-Republican provocateurs. Cartoonist Ted Rawl and RNCNotWelcome.org's Jamie Moran. Both of them on tomorrow's Morning's Edition, only here on Air America Radio. Thanks, Steve. Have a good day, Marin.
All right. Bye, Mark.